This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, everybody. Hi. It's time. It's Tuesday night. That means it's time for the best show. Best show's back. What do you think about that, everybody? I know what I think about it, and we have an exciting show planned for you tonight. Oh, my goodness. We have Chris Gethard's going to be here in studio, and we're going to have Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers here in studio, and we've got all sorts of stuff lined up for you all night long. Get ready. We got the whole crew, AP Mike's here. We got Pat Burns. See, I'm going to say Pat. I'm not saying Pat last anymore. Got Pat Byrne, AP Mike, Dudio. All sorts of stuff coming your way. Get ready, because the old clock on the wall tells me it's time to begin the best show.
Jersey, back again.
Show back on another Tuesday night. My name's Tom. I'm the host of the show, Tom Sharpling. How are you? The phone number, 201-332-3484. That's the phone number for tonight's show, 201-332-3484. And we've got AP Mike out there. How's it sound, Mike? Good. Mike's pumped up tonight. Mike's fired up. Getting more and more infrequent for him to actually seem like he wants to be here. But, you know, I'll take it when I can get it. That's where we're at now. I take it when I can get it. Think I'd rather be somewhere else? That's his prerogative. He comes here when we got guests. He's pumped up when we got guests. Yeah, fair enough. Like they said in Bye Bye Birdie, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? Remember when that one guy was like, they cut to him in the car. He's like, when they got you hooked, then you're really cooked. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? We never saw that guy again in the whole movie. He's driving a jalopy. You'd think he was like the cool guy in town. Nah, man. He was out. Before you knew, he never came back. Oh, we just heard from a giant dog. From one of my favorite albums of the year. Pile. The name of that song is Jizney. I saw the pictures there. Looks like they're filming a video for it. I can't wait. How about that? And tonight, later in the program, Chris Gethard, star of the movie Don't Think Twice and the soon to be king of the Great White Way. His show Career Suicide is going off Broadway in next month. He'll be in studio. Along with him will be Sal Vulcano from Impractical Jokers. It's a 5-star program tonight. And again, the number 201-332-3484. Who's good here, Mike? One? Mike says one. Let's go to one. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, to whom am I speaking?
This is a first-time caller, Mikey from Huntington Beach, California.
Mikey from Huntington Beach. What's going on out in Huntington Beach tonight?
Not much, Tom. I actually ditched my class at Cal State Long Beach tonight to actually listen to the show. And this is my first time calling in.
Well, I welcome you to the best show.
Cool, man. I've been listening for about, like, probably 4 years now. And I was like, I'm going to call in today. I ditched class already.
I love it. What class did you ditch?
I ditched a novel. So we have, it's 16 weeks, 16 novels.
16?
This is my only and last class before I graduate with a bachelor's, so.
And what novel are you reading now?
As I Lay Dying by William Faulkner.
Ah, the master.
Yeah, I was lost. I had to go back and read it a second time, and so far the only character that I've liked so far was Cash, probably.
What other novels have you read in the class?
We are reading Paco's Story, The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison.
What's the first one? Taco? What is that? Taco Story? What is that? Sausage Party or something?
Yeah, I think it is.
Is that about the Salma Hayek character in the movie? Who she played a taco in the movie, which I thought was very subtle touch to have Salma Hayek.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that they gave me this book for this semester, recent release, and Taco Story.
So what else are you doing? Toni Morrison and who else now? You're doing the Mike Love book?
Toni Morrison, and I just got done with the Professor's House, Willa Cather. And that was a snoozer.
Willa Cather, the master. Who else are you doing?
I am also reading, Kurt Vonnegut. I've actually never read him before.
What are you reading?
And we have to read Slaughterhouse-Five, I believe.
Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut, otherwise known
as
the man.
So that's we get to that in like 3 weeks. So that's the only one I'm actually really excited about. So I just called to moan and complain about the workload I have right now, and I just wanted to say thank you for keeping me busy on Tuesday nights while I do my work and. Just thank you for everything. And I just recently purchased the box set. So
that's sweet of you.
I can't wait to listen to all that stuff.
Well, you've got your work.
Thank you so much.
Of course. You have a great evening. The Sharpling and Worcester box set. 16 CDs and 100-plus page hardcover book available from Numero Group. Check it out. Best show.
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Oh, it's going fantastic. Who's this?
That's great. So I just wanted to call quick.
Yeah, I said, who's this?
Oh, this is Dan in Plymouth.
Dan in Plymouth?
Yeah.
Plymouth what? Where? Where's
Plymouth?
Plymouth,
Mass.
Okay, Plymouth, Mass. That's Massachusetts.
Hi, Chris and Sal. I just wanted to say hi to you guys.
They're not here yet.
Okay.
That's that Massachusetts dude, man. Where you go?
Just wanted to say before I gave my shout out.
Where you go? You just go Plymouth. It's like Plymouth. Yeah, Plymouth, Plymouth, Mass.
Yeah.
Nobody in the rest of the country knows Plymouth.
I think there's a Plymouth in Ohio.
Yeah, of course there is. There's probably a Plymouth in 30 of the states. But that Massachusetts dude, man.
You could be right.
You think there's only one. So what did you want to say now?
No, I just wanted to give a shout-out to this guy that I see on my commute every day. He dresses up in a Ted costume, and he does, like, air guitar outside of South Station.
He dresses up in a Ted, like Ted the bear?
like Wahlberg Ted.
He dresses up in a Ted so he's dressed as a bear.
Yes.
Yeah, those are not Ted costumes. Those are bear costumes.
No, but it looks just like the character, in the movie.
That looks like a teddy bear that's been around for 100 years.
Valid point.
Look, again, Massachusetts, I know you're proud. I know you're in New England's proud of Seth MacFarlane, and you're proud of Mark Wahlberg, and you're proud of Ted, all your hometown heroes, David Ortiz and Ted and Mark Wahlberg and The Departed and Whitey Bulger and all your heroes.
Yeah.
It's like a who's who up there, right? Like a panoply.
It's an all-star roster.
Yeah. Whitey Bulger has a show on the Panoply Network now, though, by the way.
Yeah. You know what else I wanted to ask you? How do you feel about...
So that was it for a shout-out? That was the only shout... That was a pretty lame shout-out there, buddy.
No way! He's got a ton of courage. He goes out there every day and he does it.
No, yeah.
He doesn't have his hand out. He's rocking out.
And you phoned in your shout-out.
Yeah. That was great.
What else did you want to say?
I see him every day. You see him every day.
All right. What else is going on here?
Nothing. No. I just want to know about how you feel about this relationship between Melo and Porzingis.
I think it's going to be fine. I think it's going to be great.
You think?
Yeah. It's going to be great. You worry about your team. You worry about the Celtics.
No, I'm a Knicks fan. Okay. That's why I'm asking.
All right. Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be a weird, terrible, great season for the Knicks. Because they put together the strangest team imaginable, and it's probably not going to end well, but it's going to be fun.
I don't know. Who knows? Lightning might strike. I'm hopeful.
That's Nick talk, man. That's Nick fan talk. Lightning might strike. That hopeful. cool down, bro. Cool down. Go see Ted 2 again. No Dudevember can't come soon enough, man. I tell you. No Dudevember can't come soon enough. What are we going to have? That'll be fun, right? That'd be fun when it's no dude. Remember No Dudevember? That was a fun stretch. A month of no calls from dudes. Look, will there be a dude or two coming in studio? Yeah, there probably will be. I got things lined up for people who are going to be in the area, and it's taken the entirety of the length of this show for some of these people to get here. And I ain't gonna bounce them for that. They can be. I'm authorizing exceptions to No Dudevember for a couple people. So just wrap your head around that too. But these calls, man, tighten it up out there, Mike. Beat these people into shape. Come on. Mike's probably got his autograph book ready. Get Salvo Canada to sign his autograph book. Probably tell him all about apmike.bandcamp.com. I don't want you to mention, Mike, and you listen to me good. If I catch you mentioning to Chris or Sal about apmike.bandcamp.com, I'm going to be so in the flesh. I'm going to wrap your knuckles with a ruler. And Mike, get me a ruler. Can someone go get me a ruler? I think Staples is still open. I want Mike to go. It'll be like the office supply version of picking your own switch. I want you to pick out your own ruler, Mike. Go over to Staples or Office Max. Pick out the ruler that your knuckles will get wrapped with. I can't hear you. No networking. This isn't a conference. That's the only reason he's up for tonight's show. I tell you, he's got senioritis. And I think it might be time for him to graduate. Might be time for old Mike to put his little mortar on his head and bounce his ass out of here. Right? See if Dave Hill needs a second screener. Put you after Danny D. Best show.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
I'm Kara from Sugar Creek, Ohio.
Kara?
Kara. With a T.
With a T. Hi, Tara. How are you?
I am great. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on tonight in, where was it again?
Sugar Creek.
Sugar Creek, Ohio, Mississippi, Ohio. Where did you say now?
Ohio.
Ohio.
It's an Amish town, so not much is going on.
Sugar Creek, Ohio. What's going on in Sugar Creek, Ohio tonight?
Not really a lot. I just, this is my first time listening live, but for the past couple weeks, I've been listening as a podcast while I study, and I wanted the chance to call up and just say thanks because it's actually really helped me out a lot, made me more efficient.
What? Your grades have improved?
From the best show, I know.
So what you're saying, and this is not in any way scientific, but what you're saying is that when you listen to the best show while studying, you've gotten smarter and you've gotten better grades.
There's a correlation. I've used it to just listen to while I study, and I've actually been able to, you know, sit down for longer periods of time and actually really, you know, crack the books.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, Tara. What's your favorite subject there in school?
I'm a communications major, so I have a
communications major.
Class.
It's bringing me down, right? Gonna get your diploma.
Hopefully.
So, what do you want to do with your communications degree?
I want to go into digital media.
Okay.
I'm
going to say that's generally a good move in 2016 to stay away from analog media. I think you're making the right choice of staying away from pneumatic tubes and carrier pigeon.
Oh, no, I was just planning on starting up a newspaper. I thought that was a great idea.
I think that sounds like a wonderful idea, to start up a newspaper.
I do video production and such, and some minor voiceover work, and I thought that communications major, I can get into more.
Let's hear some voiceover. Let's hear some VO real quick. Let's hear some quick VO.
Oh, geez.
Give me 10 seconds. Give me 10 seconds.
Well, I do more commercial stuff, but,
That's fine. Just give me what you got. Come on, Tara. You're in the spotlight now.
You're putting the pressure on me, Tom.
I know. Pressure pushes water through pipes. Not my words. The words of Stefan Marbury. Go ahead.
You see, I told you you helped me study.
Yeah. What do you got?
No, I can't do that under pressure, but just thank you.
All right, fair enough.
Really love your show. You've really helped me out a lot, and I appreciate it.
Well, you're sweet, and I appreciate it. And you keep calling.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Bye. Oh. So this Mike Love book is out now, right? The Mike Love book. I read it. It's all I can think of. It's this dumb Mike Love book. Because it's like, he's not... It's basically, he makes this case for himself as being not bad. Like, he's making a case that he did something. And yeah, he did do something. He wrote lyrics for the Beach Boys. Some of those lyrics are great lyrics. But again, I could write some lyrics like that. You tell me I couldn't write. I couldn't write. He's so fine, my 409. You tell me I couldn't write that. But then again, lyrics for Good Vibrations. Those are great lyrics. But then again, they're just I could do that part. But he makes the case so much of the time, like, I kept the band going on the road, and Brian got a piece of the tour. It's like, yeah, okay, that's fair. But you're also playing the songs he wrote. Otherwise, you'd be in a Beach Boys cover band, which he was in, like, dumb groups like the Beach Celebration Band. And then he did that classic thing of blaming how his solo album didn't blow up the way it could. Like, really? What did you think? Mike Love's solo album's going to really... This Phil Collins is really cleaning up. Might be time. It's love time. Isn't it amazing? His name's Love, and he's so filled with not anything but love in so many cases. You know, it's just amazing. He just makes this case for the being the commercial element of the Beach Boys and keeping the thing alive, and it's like, but what is that word? It's like, it's something, but it's just nothing compared to what it was. And I remember we used to like fight. Cause Mike, you know, I was in the Beach Boys, right? I was in when Brian decided to stop touring, they brought in Glenn Campbell. Then they brought in Bruce Johnston. Then I came in. So I sang on a fair amount of the stuff, like the Smile. I was there for the Smile sessions, pretty much. And I mean, those were really weird days back then. You know, I really just remember how we were trying to fulfill Brian's vision, and it was really something else. You know, You think back to those days, and it really just, I mean, I remember what it was like when we were there in the studio doing those. of songs, and it really just was something else.
Okay, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. That'll be those last notes.
Yeah.
Just go.
Okay.
One,
okay, let's do this.
One, two, three.
Yeah, okay, one more, Brian. We got this.
Yeah, in there, come on.
Like a okay, slider beat. Here we go. You got to take a deeper breath.
Okay. Deeper breath. Gotcha.
One, two.
Can roll,
one,
Brian.
Two, three. I think that last note, we should come out more.
Okay.
Everybody come out on that last note.
All right.
Here we go. One.
Oh, he is a taskmaster.
One, two, three.
I was a little early on that one. Sorry. We can do it again?
Let's just overdub it right over.
Watch your nose.
We're not going to overdub it, Dennis.
60. What the hell?
Well, why do you keep going up like 60? Why don't you put the tape back instead of wasting all the tape?
Look,
if you, that seems like a lot of wasted
tape. We're on Capitol Records.
Yeah,
we got as much tape as we want.
In the middle, you got to splice it out.
What are you worried? What, do you run a tape store?
One, two, three.
Oh, wait.
Why don't we overdub it?
Oh, will you stop with the overdubbing?
Okay, here we go.
Okay, let's do this.
Ready, set, one, two. One, two, three. How do you get those last notes?
Yeah, I know, right?
Brian, put a slate on this for me, please, what it is.
I think I got the same word.
He wants you to slate it, Brian.
Pick up to third verse.
Okay, pick up the third verse.
All set? One. And
guys, don't mess this up.
One, two, three.
Oh, I was off on that.
You're not quite making it.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're pulling me down off my nose.
Come on, Al.
God,
Look, you know Mike can barely sing, Al.
One,
tighten it up.
One, two, three.
Stop throwing.
It's in the same note, Carl. I guess
about eight of us.
No, you got one of you is worse than the next.
Yeah, are you?
Well, you're probably on
the same. Yeah, let's do this.
Two,
so let's get serious.
One, two, three.
That'll get to.
Yeah, let's play it out there, okay?
Brian, put a slate on this for me, please.
Here we go. Okay. Here we go. One, two, three.
And dum. Wait, okay, you're counting? Dum, dum, dum. I missed this. Sorry.
How much do you want of that, Brian?
Carol, I think you and Scotty should go home. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Come on. We can get this, guys.
All right. Here we go. Accomplished.
This can be another. This could be considered a track.
Mike.
Brian, no, really. No,
this is not a track.
Like it's beautiful.
This is a little intro, you know.
Yeah, it's an intro. Like
okay,
Brian just said.
Intro
it's not a track.
The album.
It's an intro to the album.
And,
we're making smile here, you dunce. And by the way, Mike, that hat you're wearing is so stupid.
Let's try to really pull it off.
What is that?
Here we go.
What do you want, on a golf course with that thing? I messed up on that last one there. I'm sorry. Wait. Okay.
Take it again.
Yeah, let's do it again. Wait. We're not counting it off? I thought we counted on these things. Wait, is my mic on? All right, here we go. I'm sorry. I'll pick it up on this one. Here we go.
Once again.
Okay.
When the mic.
Are any of you guys weirded out by Dennis's friend, Charlie? Really creeping me out. And he wants me to hang out at Dennis's house. And he offered me a copy of gold record for Beach Boys Party. Oh, wait, we're going again? Here we go. Okay, let's do this.
Deeper breaths. Here we go.
Yes,
is
Mike.
This opened all the way around, Jim.
Yeah.
That's weird that we're not picking up Mike.
Stop fooling around, Mike. Oh, I'm going to punch you out.
Do you have any hash joints left? I know you do.
Wait, hash? Okay. Any hash left?
Four.
I missed the cue again. Charlie's staring at me. It's spooking me out.
It's what are you doing on the bottom, Mike?
Mike, that's wrong. Oh, Mike, you dunce.
You want all of us now?
Get a balance.
Yes!
Let's go.
Four.
I lost it on that. I'm sorry. Wait. You gotta stop whenever Mike screws up. Keep going. Wait, this is mono. Oh my god, this is all coming through on this. Oops. Sorry. Oh, brother. This is, not good. Wait, what are you guys doing now? What is this? Oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. It's spooking me out. Oh. Is this Charlie? Who did this? Is Charlie? Is this Charlie stuff? I don't want to do any of these Charlie songs, guys. I told you. I'm scared. Please tell Charlie to leave the studio. Please. I don't want to be in the Beach Boys anymore. I don't want to be in the Beach Boys anymore. I don't want to be in the Beach Boys anymore. I don't want to be in the Beach Boys anymore. What? Oh! Oh! It's 2016. Thank goodness. Oh, it was so hard being in the Beach Boys back then. And I quit after that. I quit. I stayed on for a little bit. I was on when we were in Holland is when I quit. I threw a temper tantrum during the recording of Carl and the Passions. So tough. Didn't like it.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
So boy, oh boy, do we have an exciting show planned for you tonight. But first, let me tell you about a couple things. Like what? Well, first, let me tell you about tonight's show being brought to you by Merge Records. And I played a Giant Dog record at the top, Jizney. I played not because this is not Alan Freed stuff. I play because I love it. That's why I play it. I love it, and Merge Records loves this show, and I love Merge Records. I've been the biggest fan of Merge since Merge started. I went to the first Merge Fest, love it so much, one of my favorite labels, all the way back to 1989. So tonight's episode of The Best Show is brought to you by Merge Records, the label that over the last 25 years has been home to so many great bands like Arcade Fire, Spoon, Neutral Milk Hotel, And most recently, they put out records like A Giant Dog, like Pile, which we played earlier, Teenage Fan Club, Titus Andronicus, and Sneaks. Visit Merge Records to learn about, listen to, and shop for music by these artists and so many more. And listeners of The Best Show get 20% off on any order, including pre-orders, by using the coupon code BESTSHOW at checkout. And as always, domestic shipping is free. So what you do, you go to mergerecords.com, enter Best Show at checkout to get 20% off your order. Merge Records, home of independent music since 1989. Merge Records. Buy some records, bruh. Buy a Superchunk record, bruh. What else? Oh me, oh my. I got my Harry's razor, and I like my Harry's razor, and it's really great, and you get a nice shave from it, and it's top quality stuff, and it's great. I've dealt with so many cheapo razors that didn't do the job, and then I tried to get these fancy ones, and I can't afford that on this Best Show, the Best Show salary here, which is zero. So that's why Harry's. That's the perfect fit, man. The perfect fit. They strike the balance between affordable and high quality. Because, you know, these big razor companies have this habit. They put out these new models and they raise their already high prices whenever they put them out. And unlike those guys, Harry's doesn't believe in upcharging, which is why they made their razors even better and they're keeping their prices exactly the same. You get that smooth shave. That closeness, comfortable glide, all of it. And these Harry's 5 razors now include softer flex hinge for a more comfortable glide, trimmer blade for hard to reach places, a lubricating strip and textured handle for more control when it's wet. And it's still just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or even more you're going to pay at the drugstore. And by owning that factory in Germany where they make the blades, Harry's can produce high-quality razors themselves and sell them online for one half of the price. So here's the deal. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, 5-blade cartridge, and shave gel. And it's free when you sign up for a shave plan. Just pay the shipping. And plus, there's a special order for fans of The Best Show. Get a bottle of Harry's post-shave balm added to your order for free when you visit harrys.com/bestshow. So what you do, you go get a computer. It's your choice. I'm not going to tell you which brand to go. PC, Mac, your call. Go to the library, log on there. That's your business. But what you do, you get that computer. You go online, you go to harrys.com/bestshow right now to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. That's harrys.com/bestshow. Harry's, shave your face, bruh. And last, but not least, at DraftKings.com, you don't need to come in first place to cash in. The player who finished 800th in week one's biggest fantasy football contest took home $100. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You play whenever you want with the players you want. You just pick your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. Renew old rivalries with friends, family, and coworkers to find out who the superior GM really is. And whatever your level of fantasy expertise, DraftKings has something for everyone. So here's what you do. You got the computer. We did that already in the other one. Again, I don't care what kind of computer, wherever you got it. Maybe you're logging on at the rec center. It's your business. But you go to DraftKings.com now and choose your players for this weekend's contest. Enter promo code BEST and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code BEST to play free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. Only at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. DraftKings.com. Fantasy Sports, bruh. Who's good here, Mike? Three. Mike says three is good. Is it your idea good or my idea good? Mike's idea good. Usually not Tom's idea good. Best show.
Hey, Tom. It's Adam from Virginia Beach.
Adam from Virginia Beach. What? Okay. What's up, Adam?
Oh, sorry, man. I had the privilege of meeting a giant dog recently.
You did?
I did at a show in Richmond, Virginia with Titus Andronicus.
Nice. That's a superpower tour. Titus Andronicus and a giant dog rocking America from coast to coast. Patrick Stickles and Sabrina.
I met Sabrina and I met Andy. I actually had the ability to talk with them at length. It was really awesome.
Did you tell them you listened to the best show?
I absolutely did. I at least told Sabrina. I can't remember if I told Andy.
And what did she say?
She was very happy to learn that.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. It was really a pleasure. I've never been able to talk like that with the band before. Mm-hmm. I went
nice
up
people.
By myself, and I thought I was going to have other people with me. So it was really awesome.
They're nice people. I'm glad it went well. But wouldn't have expected it to go any other way, because they're nice people.
They are great.
Right?
That is right.
Yeah. So what else is going on, Chief?
I also, this weekend, I went to Natural Bridge, Virginia, and most importantly, the Virginia Safari Zoo that is there.
The Virginia Safari Zoo. Now, what's that all about?
It is a drive-through zoo. They have a walking portion, but they also have a drive-through portion where they give you, like, a bucket of food, and you drive through the thing while, like, just throngs of animals swarm you.
What kind of animals are at this thing?
Where these, in the drive-through is mostly, like, deer and, like, elk, some, like, various, like, African oryxes and but, you know, like the four-legged hoofed animals, basically, of all kinds.
What was the scariest animal at the whole thing?
There's a bull-looking thing that was just kind of walking directly towards us in the car. And you're just surrounded by, you know, like 20 animals at a time, like as you drive through this, like, two-mile stretch. But the funniest thing was, like, the first deer that we had, I brought this bucket of food, and, you know, the brochures show the deer, like, just kind of eating out of the bucket, waiting their turn. But this deer did not go for the food in the bucket. He just went right for the bucket. So he just bit onto the bucket and ripped it out of my hands immediately, like the first animal at this thing, you know.
So these deer are just emboldened now. They have no...
They
are
fearless. I've never seen, like, been up close to any deer, let alone, like, 50 of them at a time, you know?
Yeah. Was there any part of it that was tempted to get out? And fight the animals?
No. I've seen, like, the videos where, like, the deer stalk people to death and stuff, so I was pretty certain that would happen.
The deer stalker. You know that's what you call a Sherlock Holmes hat is a deer stalker. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Those are what those hats are actually called. They're not called Sherlock Holmes hats.
Yeah.
They're called deer stalkers. And did you know that Sherlock Holmes in the books did not wear those hats?
I did not know that.
Did you know that, Mike? No. Did he smoke? I'm assuming he smoked a pipe. He filled it with opium. Right? Sherlock Holmes liked opium. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah, he did. You know what else he liked doing? Solving crimes. Which do you think he liked more, opium or crime solving?
I would definitely go for the opium.
I'm going to say so, too. I think the solving crimes facilitated where he's just like, my job is solving crimes. But my hobby is the opium. That's my true love. If only I could make my... They say if you can get paid for doing what you love, then you've won at life. So if only I could get paid for doing opium, then I would have won at life. But I got this crime solving I'm doing just in the meantime. Sure, it pays the bills, but it doesn't... I just don't feel it in my heart. It's not what I want. Wait, who am I talking about? Me or Sherlock Holmes? Swapping out. Oh, never mind. Thanks for the call, brah. Oop. Nope. Eep. Oop. Best show. Hi. Hello.
Oh, hey, Tom.
Hi. What's up?
This is Justin here from Dallas.
Justin from Dallas. What's going on in Dallas tonight, Justin?
I wanted you to know I have my friend here who is a new listener. She's too nervous to talk, but...
Put her on. Put her on. You're boring. She's not. Put her on.
She...
Just talk. What's her name? What's your friend's name?
Penny.
Penny, I'll be so nice.
I gotta listen to the best show first. The box set.
Yeah, Penny, just put Penny on. I'll be friendly. I'll be nice.
Okay.
Come on, Penny.
Hello.
Hi, Penny. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm good. Who are your favorite Pennies? Are there other Pennies that you are happy to share the name with?
Well, I'm actually named after the Beatles song.
You are, and do you know Penny Lane, the filmmaker?
I do not.
There's a filmmaker named Penny Lane also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of stuff did she make?
She made a great movie about the,
Yeah?
Oh, I'm blanking. What's Penny Lane's movie? She made two movies that I loved. Hold on. Penny Lane. Why am I blanking on this? Mortifying. She made a movie. Yeah, of course she did this movie Arne Nixon, which is so good, and she had something this year called Nuts, which I regretfully have not seen. She's very talented.
Huh. Okay.
And then you also know the big one you share in common. You know the big one, right?
Which one's that?
From Big Bang Theory.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, that's delightful.
Do you like when people knock on your door and go, ba 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 ba, Penny, ba 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 ba, Penny?
That is like my Penny. Entire work experience. Yeah.
Penny, and you just go, and then you go to HR. Then you go to HR and report them, right?
Yeah, I live in a dream of where that happens.
Yeah, you should report all of them. So what's going on?
It's a lot of fun, I'm sure.
So you like the show? I'm glad you checked it out.
I do. I absolutely love it.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. I've been listening to the box set from end to end, and I had to stop on the road a couple times because I listened to it when I drove to work. I just had to call Justin and tell him. I was like, oh my gosh, I finished it.
The box set.
And he was like, you should call in. And I'm like, no.
Sharpling and Worcester on Numero, the best of the best show, live on, not live, it's on Numero Group, 16 CDs and 100-plus page hardcover book and so many more things. It's really it's the work of my life.
It's all of it. I mean, especially like the little notes like written on the pages and stuff. I can relate to that. I'm like, the colors should be nicer to Tom.
They should, right? Right, Penny? Right?
Yeah.
Penny? Penny.
Yeah. Oh, Penny. God, Tom, you're killing me.
What if you heard somebody knocking on your door and you're like, Penny, Penny, and then suddenly you open your door and it was actually Dr. Sheldon Cooper?
Punch him in his throat. Like, I might actually physically do that.
What would you do? And then what if he started asking about Wolowitz, and then suddenly you realized you were trapped in an episode of Big Bang Theory?
Oh, God.
What would you do then?
Oh, God. But no, Tom, doors have locks for a reason.
No, but you open it because he's still knocking on it going, Penny, Penny, right? You couldn't help it. All right, Penny, I'm going
to
leave you alone.
Okay, I guess you get to a certain point in the knocking, you just open the door and push him off the second story, and we're good.
And then you go, what do you want, Sheldon? And he goes,
that show is so awful.
And he goes, Leonard broke the rules of the roommate agreement that we had. Right? And he goes, then Kuthra Polly's coming over, and he wants to know if we can watch, Star Trek Voyager, and I want to watch Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
And then as I'm standing out, like, looking deadpan into the camera, the last track plays, and I realize the nightmare will never end.
And then you just go, whatevs.
Oh, God.
All right, Penny, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Tom. You have a great evening.
You have a greater evening. Bye. My friends. I would like to tell you that you know the word Stereo Laughs, Stereo Laughs, LAFFS.com. That's the place where you buy all the Sharpling and Worcester stuff and Best Show stuff, and you could check it out. And we have our shirts for the Gorch, and those are not we made another batch. They're all in stock, but we ain't making no more. So if you want a Gorch shirt, you go to StereoLaughs.com, you order it. Because when they're gone, they're not coming back. When they're gone, they're not coming back. So go to StereoLaughs.com, get that Gorch shirt. And, yeah. And then there's just I got an envelope here. It says it's priority. So let me... Dear Tom, please read this on the air. Another envelope inside. Oh. It's just a piece of paper that says apmike.bandcamp.com. Unbelievable. This guy. How does he do it? Because he's got these shirts, these Masses. Masses Tavern's the bar that Mike works at. Masses Tavern. And he's got these shirts... for Masses Tavern now, and you can order them, and he sends them out to you. And then he's also got his songs up there. He's got his Michael Perry was one of the songs he did, and he's got another one, his thing, some like dirty nursery rhymes or something. I don't even know what it is, honestly. He didn't give me a free link, so I'm boycotting it. Yeah, he's got his stuff up there, but apmike.bandcamp.com. Check it out, I guess. I don't know. I'm being told my guests are here. Hey, Mike, should I bring them in or not? What do you think? Should we do this? Bing, 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 bing. Why don't you bring my guest in, Mike? In studio. Oh, my God, it's studio. How about that? Hey.
Oh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to say hi,
sir.
Dude. How are you?
Pleasure. How are you? Oh, so nice to see you.
So nice to see you.
Me too.
Thank you, of course.
How are you?
I'm good.
I don't get a hug.
Because you're on the other side of the table already.
I'll
reach around the table. Come on.
No hug for your old pal?
Of course.
Good to see you.
Oh. Did they get you tell you what's what, first of all?
I heard a little bit.
Oh, thank you for coming here. This is exciting. Welcome.
I'm thrilled to finally be here.
I can't believe you're actually here. I'm actually starstruck tonight. This is the most thrilling thing for me. You think I'm kidding, and I'm not.
I never know when you are or not, so hopefully I get to the bottom of that.
Well, don't worry. There's no bottom to get to. I do nothing but watch your show all day long. That's all you need to know. I'm in studio. I have, first of all, an old friend and hopefully a new friend. The old friend is Chris Gethard. You know Chris. He's the host of the Chris Gethard Show. He's the brother of Greg Gethard. Your older brother.
My older brother.
Your older brother.
Financial guru, Greg Gethard.
financial guru Greg Gethard. He is now, this is the year of Chris Gethard. This is, he's got a movie in theaters now. It's called Don't Think Twice, right? Don't Think Twice.
Yeah, the great Mike Birbiglia wrote and directed it.
And you play Bill.
I do play Bill, yeah. Correct.
Improviser, Bill.
What's,
what's Bill's last name?
I don't know. I should know this. This is not good. He had a name. Because there's a dad and everybody calls him Mr. Something. But I'm sad to say we filmed it a while ago.
Bill Campbell?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
I just watched it.
You liked it?
I really did. I thought you really brought like a ton of heart.
Thanks. I will say,
he's such a good actor.
Well, I read all the reviews and it said, like, yeah, there's this one character who's such a sad sack, and it kind of hurt my feelings because I wasn't aiming for that. It just kind of shined through.
This was your moment of just being like a tough guy on the screen, and then it's like,
yeah.
And then this one guy. Well, when you start off naked in the first scene.
They cut the full frontal. It was supposed to be full frontal.
Okay.
Wow. Was that really? Did it really?
And they screened it. A girl came up to me. I was at a show at Shea Stadium in Brooklyn. And this girl came up to me and was like, I was in a test screening of your movie. And I was like, oh, how'd you like it? And she's like, how come they showed like full peen 90 seconds in? And I was like, I don't know. And I guess like all the test audiences found it so disturbing that there was full frontal nudity from me that early in the film that it was cut out.
Well, you were great in the movie.
Thanks,
nudity
Tom.
Or not.
Thank you.
But that's just one plank in this year of yours.
Thanks, man.
With your off-Broadway show, Career Suicide.
Feeling very nervous and very appreciative that you'd bring that up.
Which starts in October 5th?
Starts? And I got a surprise for you and your listeners.
Under their seats.
Every single person in your own home or your car, reach under your chair. Seat. Everyone.
There's tickets to see Career Suicide.
I can't do that, but I did.
No, that would be.
I got a special Tom Sharpling promo code.
What?
You got your own promo code, FOT10. FOT10. You get $10 off any performance if you go to careersuicideshow.com.
Well, how about that? Anybody who goes to careersuicideshow.com, which is Chris's, the website for Chris's show, Career Suicide, which starts on October 5th.
Yeah. Get you $10 off.
FOT10. You enter that, and you get a discount. What more? It's like a cavalcade of free stuff for the audience.
Well, let's not go crazy. It's not
discounted
free.
Stuff.
I know. I'm not. Yeah. Come on.
So you're the old friend.
Yeah.
And now also in the studio, we have Sal Vulcano, who is a star. I'm going to say the star. You say a star. You'd say I'm going to say the star.
I wouldn't even say a star.
No, you're the star of Impractical Jokers on True TV.
Very kind.
Which you're 5 seasons deep on now.
Yes. Right?
How many episodes is that?
The end of the season is November, and I think it'll be roughly about 135.
Oh my God. I love. That's so many.
Yeah, I love that old. It's like old TV in a way where it's like cable does things where it's like, season. We'll say when your season's over.
Yeah.
It's just like. So hey, congratulations! You're in part 3. Like, you're in part 3 of season 2 now. Like, they're just like where they don't start the next
season
for
18 months.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're going to extend season 3 now, another 40 episodes.
Yeah, they used to do that in the beginning a lot. Like they'd play like 8 episodes and then be like, you'll be back on in like a month or two. And people would be like, oh my God, you're like in the 12th season. And I'm like, no, it's like season 3 right now. Yeah. So we try to have one break. We just split it into 2 13s.
Mm-hmm.
And then they order like 5 or 6 specials. So it's like 31 episodes or so a year.
Okay.
Per season.
That's the life right there.
No, they play it a lot. That's kind of what is like beneficial to us is that they just play it so much, you know, and so it always keeps finding an audience.
Yeah.
So like we're lucky, although, you know, I don't want to like sometimes people are just like, yeah, it's on so much. And I'm almost like, I'm sorry. You know, like I don't know what to say.
They can go for a walk.
They could.
In the park or or there's other channels. It's just like, same. This thing's on all the time. It's like, well, you might want to get out then. It's just like, it's not, the TV's not mandatory that you watch True TV all day. It's not like you're remote stuck on one channel.
But it is great if you're in the mood for that. Mm-hmm. That's like the ultimate show. Like, if I have to fold laundry and Joker's is on, I'm like, oh, yes, this is, I can watch six of these in a row, laugh, love it, get through.
Yeah,
we're a huge laundry show.
These buddies. I don't mean, I mean that as
no,
high
I,
praise.
No, I mean, I'm just being,
I
playful.
Mean that as high praise, thank high you. Praise. Of just, it's the best. It's the best to turn it on and watch nine in a row and then realize, oh, I just spent 4.5 hours of my life. It's the best.
Everything's yeah. clean, though, now.
So, you, Sal, I'll say this. First of all, I'll start with an apology.
Wow. Because there has been some tension.
I made
in the
fun
air.
Of the show.
I heard.
Only for this reason, though. Nothing but pure, unadulterated jealousy. Where it's like, all I'm doing is banging my head against a wall every day in my life. And then I put on TV and I see these four guys from Staten Island. And I'm like.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit, the technology platform that brings financial confidence with products like TurboTax, Credit Karma, QuickBooks, and MailChimp. You might have learned the recorder in school, but probably not how to navigate the financial world. Luckily, Intuit's on a mission to help with the free Intuit for Education program. It provides students with the lessons to learn essential skills, like how to build credit, file taxes, and budget. Check out their free resources at intuit.com/education.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
They're having fun, and it's a simple thing. And then it's just like, oh, they're at Radio City. It's no tickets for that left. Don't worry, there's a second show. And meanwhile, I'm here on my hands and knees scrubbing the bathroom floor of my own studio. It was nothing but jealousy. You hear the laugh out there?
Yeah,
mind you, this room is soundproof. We still heard it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they love the bathroom. That's their favorite thing.
We talked about on the car ride over here. Sal and I had a moment of like, what's this gonna be?
Oh no! Look, and then I watched the show, and the show's so fun. It's so legitimately funny. I will watch it and laugh more than anything else I watch on TV. I laugh at your show.
Thank you so much. Wow!
And my wife can right, Terry? She left.
You laugh at nothing.
I laugh at nothing,
except
but
for this show.
I know. I sit there and I laugh, and then I was with John Worster a few weeks ago, and I was like, "Did you ever see this?" And he was like, "No." And I showed him you having to read the wedding the toast at the wedding, and we could not stop laughing at how funny it was. And that whole time I was with him, we just kept watching clips for 4 days straight. We were just watching nothing but Impractical Jokers clips. Because it's so, look, Jackass was one of my favorite things ever. And it's not an extension of it, but it's in the spirit of a thing because it's got, there's heart there. It's not just mean pranks and everybody is just kind of brutalizing each other. Even when that happens in it, it's, you know, the intent behind it is that it's still coming from people who like each other doing it to each other. So that's really, I think, what makes it work. So I tip my hat to you.
Can I say sincerely?
Oh, no.
It means so much. I really do appreciate it. I have so many friends that are diehard fans mm-hmm. of your show. Mm-hmm. And so over the years, actually, we were talking about this in the car. Because we're in a comedy troupe. Basically, our identity outside of Jokers is a comedy troupe we started in 99.
Tenderloin.
Yes. And so like a
long
time
which might not be
ago,
doing you any favors. Any troupe name does nobody any
favors. Oh, terrible. Absolutely. We actually make up a different stupid reason of the etymology of the name every time we're asked. It's just terrible. But before this show was ever even an idea in our own heads, you had mentioned us on that show. And so every time that you
Oh, I love
it,
this.
So wait, so I mentioned
rake them over the coals, Sal.
No, so I never knew if it was like derisive, like you know, like how was the intent of it. Like so my like dozen or two dozen like diehard friends would always immediately contact me when there was a mention. And so and I would be like, well, how did he say it? Mm-hmm. Was it like sarcastic? Was it like, you know, was it like, so, cause one time you said, oh, the tenderloins came up and you went, tenderloins, Staten Island's premier comedy troupe. And, well, you knew, I think we were one of the only comedy troupes in Staten Island and you also knew it. So I was like, was it a factual thing or was there a tinge of sarcasm behind it? So then that was before you ever even knew that we were the Jokers. And when you started mentioning the Jokers, I would get texts like every week. Uh-huh. Like, he's talking about you again. He's talking about you again. And I would be like, well, in what, like, so like, then I started to listen and for the most part, I was like, oh yeah, he's just bashing us. But then like, sometimes you would say like, but they have something figured out. It was like a little twinkle of hope.
Oh.
And then recently, I don't know, it was because I heard a clip recently that when you were speaking to someone, they were like, he turned a corner on it and he finally watched it and maybe he kind of understands a little more. Cause I heard a lot of, it's, we're doing nothing. We're ripping off we're ripping off Letterman. It's so simple and so stupid. And why do we get to have, like,
what you just said is why do we get that? And I, if you finish is like, and I don't, you have to understand, Sal. It's all, my life is a disaster. You have to understand.
Oh, you said that with such intensity in your eyes.
I have nothing. you have this thing on True TV that you're racking up. You're selling out Radio City. You run your thing 6 hours a day. It's like MASH now. It's like the new MASH in Practical Jokers.
We've been at it for 17 years.
But look at what I... Well, so have I. I started this dumb show in 2000.
Right, right.
I've been banging my head. Look at the crew out there. It's like backstabbers, guys looking out the window, line jumpers. I'm just surrounded by...
The line jumpers are the ones you really got to look out
for. The line jumpers. That's a new development. The line jumpers out there. The people that push me into traffic to get this show from me. The second I croak, those guys out there, it's going to be like, you know, when you hear, it's like, oh, Prince died and his family's all just like, they showed up at Paisley Park. They started ripping things up and they're going through closets and stuff.
Fighting over your estate. Oh,
yeah. It's going to be like that, but there's nothing to take. It's this board. It's going to be Dudio and Mike having a tug of war in the street over this mixing board. The pizza's here. Oh, you need money for the pizza. Of
course. Oh, you pay for your own pizza?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. You mean the pizza I won't eat any of? How much
season
is it?
Season 5. What's your 15? What's your craft services like? 20, season 5.
How much was the whole
pizza? Our
craft
services has always been and continues to be very miserable, actually.
Why, oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's that? Okay. We visited a couple of other shows, and we, like, took photos of their craft service and then just texted them directly to, like, the people that are in charge of ours. I'm like, what is going on?
You hear that? Impractical Jokers, bad craft services.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, look. I know what the deal with basic cable. Don't worry.
When we first started, the entire staff was, I think, 8 people. Like, it was a showrunner / director, a couple of like interns and PAs, and the 4 of us. Mm-hmm. We would call places and pitch like to get locations.
You personally would?
Personally. Like, we didn't know how to make TV. We didn't even know how shows worked. And before that, we would just do it yourself with everything. we produced our own videos, and you go back and watch it, you can tell it's pretty fucking obvious, but...
let's tighten up the language.
Oh, sorry about that.
True TV rules. Sorry. This is not your filthy podcast.
Sorry.
What's the name of your podcast again, Sal?
What Say You?
What Say You. This is not What Say You.
I apologize for that.
That's all right.
Anyway, is that bad? Looking Chris.
I love Chris.
It. I just love
Chris
it.
Chris loves this so much.
Because you have
so
to
much.
Understand, Sal and I have been very tight for years now. Mm-hmm. You watch the Chris Gethard show, the very earliest episodes on Public Access, Sal's in the audience. Very, very early support and meant the world to me. Tom, you and I, old friends now. Now I get to sit in the middle while the air is cleared. And that's a beautiful thing.
Look, I got enough. I said I bow to you. I have, again... What part of I have nothing do I need to make you understand any further? You're on off-Broadway now. You have a movie. You've got an advocate. Mike Birbiglia is your big champion now.
Yeah.
You got Judd Apatow
looking
for you. What do I have? I don't have that.
You got the respect, Tom. You got the cred.
Yeah.
Everybody knows.
You ever try to eat cred? You ever try to eat cred?
For a few years there, yeah.
Yeah.
I've moved on.
Let me know how filling cred is. Yeah. Cred don't fill up your stomach. I need what you've got now, Chris. Putting it back on you. I'm Sal and I are friends. Me and you now.
Yeah.
I think that this is the actual problem. It's going to be like your movie. I'm like one of these losers in your movie. You're Jack Barnett. What was his name?
I don't know the
name. What was Keegan Michael Key's?
It was Jack. Oh, yeah. Mercer.
Jack Mercer.
Yeah.
Why couldn't he get Birbiglia get me to do that thing?
What, the voice?
Weekend Live.
You would have been great at that.
With Ashley. and Jack Mercer.
If he does another film, I'll...
Yeah.
I'll
Don't Think Twice 2. When Don't Think Twice 2.
I'll happily recommend you for some ancillary voiceover.
Don't Think Twice 2. Don't even.
don't even try to think twice. It would just be... Right? It would just be Don't Think Twice.
Yeah.
Or would it be Don't Think Thrice?
Don't think thrice.
Don't Think Twice Squared?
Because now you
There's
get
a lot
in,
of options here.
Because now you get into that thing when, like... First Blood, the Sylvester Stallone movie, came out. And then Rambo, First Blood 2, was the second one. So then when Rambo 2 came out, it should have said First Blood 3 under it, but it didn't. By all rights, it was the First Blood franchise, not the Rambo franchise.
I never knew this.
Right?
I never had any idea about this.
So then when he did that fourth one, John Rambo, it should have said... John Rambo, Rambo 3, First Blood 4.
Or Third Blood.
It should have said John Rambo, Third Blood, First Blood 4. It should have said John Rambo, Rambo 3, Fourth Blood.
Right.
Fourth First Blood is what it should have said on the poster. But it didn't. So...
And people didn't get the message, and that's why it failed ultimately.
That's why, and also because it's a 68-year-old guy running around playing a character that it's like, really? You're back? It's bad enough you created Taliban in that third one. That third Rambo movie, third First Blood movie, second Rambo movie, he was like, I'll help you guys fight the Soviets. Thanks for creating the Taliban, Rambo. Great job. So, Sal Vulcano, Chris Gethard here. I'm not going to keep harping on what I don't have, because what I do have are two great guests in the studio now. So you two met when Chris was doing his show at the UCB Theater? Was that when you started going to it, Sal?
No, Public Access, I think, right?
I had gone to the UCB to see it.
But we...
I had seen you perform a lot before we became friends.
Right.
I would go see you do improv and stuff.
And then if you watch the early Public Access episodes, there's a crew of three people you always see. One is a guy dressed as a bunny rabbit. That's our friend Jay Miller. Then there's a Winnie the Pooh. That's Tim Duffy.
Right.
And then there's a robot whose head is covered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Sal. Sal is always in that robot suit with that crew. And we just hit it off. We hit it off really early. And then I started performing a little in Staten Island with a show called Mid-Evenings that that Jay Miller hosts and that Sal was a big part of. And we just – I always felt like we really clicked.
Yeah, for sure.
We've always just stayed in touch.
Yeah.
And always –
try to work together or hang.
Yeah.
We never get a hang in.
I would say a few – there's like – we have a very classic modern day constant texting about how we should hang relationship. That's where it's at.
I really do want to. Yeah, I really am trying.
Likewise. Likewise.
Nobody we should all hang out with
the three of us.
Anymore.
All three of us should go get a nice lunch.
Well, maybe me and Sal. At this point, you might be too big for us, Chris, with your movie and Mike. You and Mike Birbiglia can go eat sandwiches, or if you even eat sandwiches anymore.
How come you can only have one friend paninis. At a time? How come you can only have one friend at a time? How come we can't all be friends?
It's true. Why can't I? Why? Oh. Blowing it up. I'm blowing it up again.
You tell Sal how sorry you are that you sent some bitterness his way.
Sorry.
And then you...
First of all, I wasn't that sorry.
You tell him that, and then in the next breath, all the venom starts slinging my way.
But you have it now. You have, what's his face? Ira Glass.
How many times has this happened to me?
Who's your
favorite? Now you have the juice.
How many times, though, have people said, oh, you've made it, and then where do I wind up? On the front steps of a mental hospital 3 weeks later. My friend's pushing me out of the car.
I know. Because take a picture. Absolutely. Because look, you and I, we've worked on stuff together,
yeah.
Chris.
And we still, that script should have been made. That was a travesty.
We wrote a thing together based on your book.
Yeah.
A terrible thing I'm about to do.
A bad idea I'm about to do. That's okay.
Close enough.
Look, it was years ago.
It was such
a great
book.
You're a very good friend.
And it was still... Look, it's not like I'm staring at the cover all day. What am I supposed to be... review? Is there a test on you I'm supposed to be studying for? I got 8 out of the 10 words of the title of your book correct. But we wrote a thing. It should have been made into a... It should have even been just the pilot. Would have been so...
I still hear rumors that people flirt with it. Do you hear these rumors?
No,
My people tell me. They say, would Tom ever want to do that thing?
They can't afford you now.
Yeah, they can.
They can afford me. To throw me a couple those McDonald's trick-or-treater coupons they used to... Remember, you'd go trick-or-treating and they'd drop like a...
Sunday.
Right? Like, good for a Sunday. Like, was that the best thing you could get in a trick-or-treat? For like a big candy bar, obviously.
Yeah, you always knew the house with the big... Ours was on Fairmont Terrace. It was like a spring. And someone in my neighborhood gave out full cans of soda on Halloween.
That's great as a kid. I think that's great. Anything full size is great.
Yeah.
You're just skipping right over the fun size.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who could really take a walk. The lady who taped together 5 pennies.
Oh, yeah.
I've had enough of her. Also, don't give me a sack of wax paper with candy corns. I need some high-end candies.
Yeah. Smarties, garbage. But the worst, did you have anybody in your neighborhood who handed out, like, religious literature?
No.
We had a house that was, like, born-agains, and they'd put a pamphlet in your bag about how Halloween was heathen and not a real holiday, an affront to Jesus.
Yeah.
That was a trick, they called it.
And, yeah, they were doing a trick. That's fair.
We also used to go, I lived around the block from the mayor of my town, West Orange, New Jersey, Sammy the Bulldog Spina, rest in peace, he died a year or two ago. Used to go to his house, and he'd make you do a trick for a treat. And looking back on that, that is very weird.
Yeah,
you'd have to, like, go into his living room and do a somersault, and then he'd give you a handful of candy.
Is he running a variety show?
He's the mayor. It was weird.
It's
such a weird power move.
Yeah.
What about the year that, like, there was a chain of years where everything was like, my mom used to check candy for needles.
Apples for razors.
Yeah, razors and needles and whatnot.
Yeah. And it's also like, look, don't worry. Somebody put an apple in my bag. I'm not eating this thing.
No chance of that razor doing anything.
Yeah, don't worry.
Did you guys have bag snatchers? Was that a factor in your neighborhood?
No.
We had kids who would wait, and they'd wait till the end of the night, and on the walk home, they'd come out and jump you, take your whole bag.
That's terrible. You did the shaving cream and eggs, right, in Jersey?
Oh, yeah. Mischief night. We called it Did you call it mischief night?
Yeah, mischief night. Yeah. Because that's regional. I don't think a lot of people did that all over the country.
No, I don't think so. I think in Detroit has Devil's Night.
Yeah, they light fires.
Where they set cars on fire.
Some people call it Goosey Night. You ever heard that?
No.
Even in parts of Jersey, it's called Goosey Night.
That sounds like a weird South Jersey kind of thing.
I think it's...
Right?
I don't know.
Doesn't it sound like a weird...
Down in the Pines?
Exit 1.
You get down there in the Pine Barrens. They do things their own way down there.
You ready for Goosey Night? It's Goosey Night. Goosey Night's coming. You might want to get indoors. Goosey Night's happening.
That's how I met my wife. One fateful Goosey Night. Long ago. To this day, every year we hit each other with eggs on our anniversary.
Now, Sal, you've been doing comedy. When did you get started in comedy? What was the thing for you? Because you grew up on Staten Island?
Yes.
In or on Staten Island? On.
I'd say on. Yeah. It's probably in, but I'd say on.
Now, where did you grow up? Near the Lemon Tree on Highland Boulevard?
Not too far.
Not too far from the Lemon Tree?
I split my time between Rosebank and St. George by the ferry.
Okay. So you go, you get your, go to Victory Boulevard, right?
You know it. I still do.
Go, right? Go to Newdorp, right?
Yeah.
Sedudo's.
Sedudo's, rest in peace, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sedudo's did a weird thing, too. Speaking of rest in peace, they used to make us do tricks for the ice cream.
Well, I'll say this. You get what you deserve if you go trick-or-treating into an ice cream shop. Like, what do you think? They're going to drop a scoop in your bag?
We pulled up, this is as a, in college, I guess we were just bored to tears, and one night we thought of a thing to do. We went into Sedudo's.
And this is what, College of Staten Island?
I went to St. John's.
Okay.
Yeah. So we sent in, and now, this is the first time I'm thinking of this, but it's kind of indicative of the show. We went in and sent in two friends, not the guys on the show, but two of my friends, and one had a note, and he handed it to the counter person at Sedudo's, and the other one stood back. And it said, "This on this guy's consigliere, we need to speak to Sedudo. We got a real big issue with Sedudo. He doesn't speak. I'm going to speak for him, but he has an issue with Sedudo." And the people, they didn't even know. We were like, watch from the window outside, you know, and it was like hysterical. Like, oh, no, actually, a couple of us went in early, got ice cream cones, and just sat as patrons. And he's like, "I want to talk to Sedudo right now. Like, we have a big issue with Sedudo." And then they were like, "I don't know what that's, we can, like, there is no Sedudo. Like, I don't know. We don't know how to contact Sedudo." But we do stuff like that.
What, it's like, what kind of problem could you have at a place where, like, the highest ticket item is, like, $450? It's just like, look, I'll give you whatever money back for whatever thing you have a problem with. Here's $5. You made 50 cents on your problem. So Staten Island.
Yeah. Comedy, probably about 99. And I think we share this. I used to go to the old UCB every week and just sit on the floor for $5 and watch
them. Oh, yeah. Like, what show? Who did you... Would you go to ASCAT?
I go to ASCAT.
Watch those shows?
Yeah.
Like, who were you watching? Which was your era that you were watching then?
It was the beginning. It was Amy, Matt, Ian, and...
So the four of them.
The four of them, yeah.
And then you'd see, like Tina Fey and Rachel Dratch and...
It kind of, I did see them, like would you get like a Chris Kattan in there or an Andy Richter, but even predating, like sometimes they just had people you didn't know. Like I remember one time they had this young boy on who kind of like did odd jobs in the theater for them.
Mm-hmm.
So like it wasn't even always a big celebrity that was on.
Yeah. But that was just the best. And, cause you were, when did you start going to the comedy shows, Chris?
I showed up at UCB in 2000. Okay. So I think about a year or two later.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you say to yourself, Sal, I can do this or I want to do this?
Well, I was going there already because I was trying to do it. And that was like the gods, you know what I mean? So I was going there. We wouldn't miss it. It was like church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, we would read like Del Close, like we'd read like books and then we'd rehearse in Joe's mom's basement 3 times a week.
Okay.
For 6 months before our first show. So we do 2 rehearsals and then an ASCAT, and then 2 rehearsals. We go see ASCAT, and then we would tape our rehearsals.
Okay.
And then right after we were finished, we would watch it back, and then we would like pause it and say, like, see, we could have made this choice. We could have done that there.
Wow.
And this and that. And we did that for 6 months before our first show, March 4th, 2000, which was It's terrible. We were horrendous still. I just watched it because I did a show where you have to show like the first your first show. And so I dug up the footage.
Was it an improv show?
No, it was a stand-up show.
Oh, stand-up.
But I didn't have an old stand-up tape, so
No, the show you did in 2000.
Oh, it was improv, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and we would show we would make a short film and show it beforehand. And then we do 45 minutes of improv. And the short films were really bad. They don't hold up either. And in order to show them to the to the audience, they didn't have, like we did at the Producers Club Theater.
Yeah.
And they didn't have projection or anything like that. So we would go to Costco on Staten Island, and we'd buy a VCR and a 36-inch television. And we would bring it to the Producers Club. It's tube television. It was $800. And we would carry it up, put it on a little rickety thing, and put a VHS. And then the next day, Murray would go back to Costco and return it. And we would do two shows a month. And he went to Costco for every show for about 2 years. I'm not even kidding. We went in and out of Costco. I don't know how he didn't get
flagged
trouble,
at some point.
I think they're like known for that. Like you just bring it back.
So Costco was an early supporter of the of your comedy career. So, but then, when did the idea of doing what became Impractical Jokers kind of work itself into what you guys were doing?
So we did a bunch of scripted pilots, and what happened was there was a sketch show on the internet that NBC was running. Sketch competition.
Okay.
And so after we did improv for like 3 or 4 years, we kind of like felt a little stagnant with it. Mm-hmm. And so we said, let's try doing sketches. So then we started doing live sketches. Again, these all really sucked. And then YouTube and MySpace came out.
Okay.
And so there was this competition for NBC. So we started, you could win $1,000. So they would give you the topic of what the sketch had to be. You send it in, and then it's just public voting.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent in one that we did, and we won $1,000. And we were like, holy cow.
Yeah. Very good.
Yes. We said, holy cow. And then it was weekly. And so we started to do a pace of one writing, producing, filming, editing, and one sketch a week. And we became like a little bit of a crowd favorite. And we won 11 of those. So we won 11. It was unbelievable.
So you guys are just racking it up now.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, 11. We're in 11 lodge at this point.
But still.
With four ways and tax.
But at that point, it's better. It's better than anything that's happened for you yet.
We couldn't even believe it.
Yeah.
And so what that ended up being was NBC was looking to find talent cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
And then what they did was they made a pilot called It's Your Show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they call that, but it was a big studio pilot hosted by Carson Daly.
Okay.
And they took the five most winningest sketch troops, and we competed and did a sketch for a $100,000 prize.
Okay.
And we won that. The show never aired, but they contractually paid us the money. And producers from that show said, you guys should develop your own show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did with them, and that's how we got an agent, and we sold a show, our first pitch ever. We sold a show. Spike and Fox bid on it, and we went with Spike because we thought that we would have a better chance of getting it on the air.
Because it's guys.
Yeah, and it was scripted, and it came out pretty miserable. And that's how we got started. And so at that time, too, was when MySpace and YouTube came out. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden we had 15 videos.
Yeah.
So we uploaded them at once. And mm-hmm. then someone over there started putting them on the homepage, and they got some traction. And so when we went into the meetings, we were like, well, we're doing well here. And it was actually substantial back then to say you were doing well on MySpace. They used to rank the comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And because someone championed us over there, we hit the number one comedian slot.
Okay.
When there was like 25,000 of them. And so that was like our big credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went into the meetings with that. And we sold it. We sold like 4 or 5 shows, some improv shows, some sketch, and they all failed. And then, like in 2010, we were like, "Let's do something that's completely not scripted." That the intent was really to just show us our friendship, be ourselves, so people would like invest in us.
Mm-hmm.
And we came up with the idea basically over a lunch.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you just did it?
We filmed it on our own, the four of us, with just our cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
We just snuck into businesses and like stood right by each other. And we filmed like 3 bits, and we brought in cell phone footage.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sold it off of that.
Wow.
We actually had pitch meetings set up. And so we retrofitted. Like, we were like, well, you're going to have these general meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, well, we need something. Yeah. So we had the meetings already booked when we sat down and had the lunch to think of the idea. And in between that, we filmed it on the cell phone. So we had the meeting before the idea.
Yeah.
And then it's like lightning in a bottle. They just thought it was funny. And that was true. They offered it right up, right there.
And that was when Court TV became True TV. Is that right?
It had been True TV a bit, but they were showing like tow truck shows, storage war shows, and,
sure.
and pawn things and things like that, of that nature and such.
And then now, like, when did you realize, when did you feel that first? Because it's like there's 8 million shows on cable, and it's just like, it's just a sea of programming. Like, when did you feel that people were actually seeing your show and responding to your show? Like in terms of your personal life?
Well, oddly to us, right away, people began to recognize us. But we didn't feel like it was any sort of traction, like, that anyone would, like, really care about. It's just that people did immediately start to be like, oh, my God. And, but, you know, not till like, probably, like, maybe three seasons in did I feel like, oh, this is clicking more and more now. Mm-hmm. It's hitting a little bit of a pitch now. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew we were on the air, but even when I watch the show now, it looks like I'm watching my own home movies. Uh-huh. I get it doesn't feel like I'm on TV. Like, if I see myself in the audience at, like, wrestling, I'm like, I'm on TV! Like, I pause, I'm like, look, it's me on TV. Because I'm on something else that I feel is, you know, it's not mine.
Yeah.
You know, but me, it's just like, we watch the show, we edit it, we do everything. So I see the show 50 times. I don't watch when it airs.
Okay.
And so I just don't feel like, you know, whatever, but...
Mm-hmm. But you are being modest right now. Like, you guys asked me, I moderated a panel at the New York Comic Con. I moderated the Joker's panel, and there was a woman sitting in the front row holding her baby above her head and shaking a baby at you. This is not just, like, people who like the show. This woman was putting her child in danger just so you could, like, bless the baby with your presence. It was really – it was nuts. It was like I've never been around something
She
could like
have
that.
Been at any panel, though,
dude. Dude, I'm telling you.
To be fair, that might be more about her. Just being late.
To be like, full disclosure, I saw her shaking a baby in the hallway later for no reason.
Yeah, it's just like, you must really like Impractical Jokers. What's that? Like, you're throwing your baby at them. Oh, this is my baby.
We got diehard fans from the beginning. But as far as, like, it feeling like people that I respect and things like that, recognizing it, I didn't feel that for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we have people with license plates and tattoos and birthday cakes, and they do us for Halloween, speaking of Halloween. And that we still can't believe every single time it happens. We cannot believe it.
And also, speaking of recognizing, though, how now... Since people know the show, and your show is basically you guys out and about, how much recognizing happens in an average filming of a I don't want to say what do you call them
challenges?
Yeah, like how many times are people just go and spotting you and knowing what it is?
Yeah, it was much easier in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we don't use anyone that knows us, for sure. So it takes, like, we do a challenge a day, and it takes about a week to shoot an episode. And we get it. But, you know, we shoot in densely. New York is pretty dense. If we go outside New York, we make sure there's a lot of turnover, because you have to account for that.
Mm-hmm.
We have, like, all techniques to make sure people don't know us. Like, if we're doing, like, something with an audience, we'll have one of us go out there 3 hours before and sit. And we have, like, 8 people waiting for someone to even just visibly recognize it. And they go in and grab that person.
Okay.
So we have all these, like, stop gaps in place like that. And it makes it a little harder to film, but not to the detriment of it, really.
Mm-hmm. So it's like jury duty. If somebody tips their hand, right, they get bounced.
Yeah. We go out early and look for any people that are racist or biased, and we pull those people right away, yeah.
And you put them in.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you met Mike out there, right? Yeah. This Mike, he ends up on jury duty. He could not get out of it. What did you say to them, Mike? But he was going to try to make some point about. He comes. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, I ended up on jury duty. I ended up on the thing. All he had to do was say, look, I'm weird and crazy. I can't guarantee what I'm going to say up here. He ended up on some jury. What was it? Some guy. Some guy got a gun. Man, it was so boring. I got
that old one. That old nugget.
He made. Look, he's so boring. He made a thing with a guy with a gun boring. Like he was telling me the story. I'm falling asleep. It's like somebody else would have taken that and turned it into a movie. He's telling this thing. It's just like, what? Guy had a gun and he was. All right. No, well, I love Mike. Mike's great.
I got out of jury duty by telling them that, and this was true that it happened, but not true that I felt this way. So that was a lie. Yeah. I got hit by a car when I was 4.
Okay.
And we sued, and I got like $5,000.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, yeah, I got hit by a car when I was 4, and I only got $5,000. And like, I feel like I should have got like way more than that. So like, I'm going to just, I'm always going to want to, I empathize. I'm going to empathize and sympathize with someone who's a victim.
Yeah.
And they were just like, later.
Yeah, you're like, it's a lifetime of resentment you've built up against people not getting paid for car accidents since you've been 4. You've been haunted by it. So we have Sal Vulcano here from Impractical Jokers. We have Chris Gethard here. Now, Chris, your show, Career Suicide, you've been working this for a while now.
Yeah.
For about a year and change now, almost 2 years.
Close to 2 years, yeah.
And you were in Edinburgh for a month.
Yeah.
You're doing it every night.
Yeah, it was intense.
What was that like?
Well, it was cool because the show got better and that part's fun. It was nice to have an audience that many nights in a row, but also like my show is about like suicide and stuff, and talking about that 26 nights in a row in a country where you know no one is not ideal. And I was living, a friend of mine got in touch and he was like, hey, I've done this festival 4 times. It's your first time. Why don't we live together? It was my friend Colt Cabana.
Sure.
He's a podcaster, a pro wrestler. And I went and lived with him and these 2 Australian comedians.
Another guy who thinks I have made fun of him, I'm sure, at some. I got to stop making fun of people.
He's the best. I got dinner with him last night in Chicago.
Why do I do it? Why do I make fun of people?
I don't know.
It comes from feeling small inside, right?
You think so?
Yeah. I lash out.
There's some self-sabotage in there, right?
Yeah, I'm sure.
You want to push them away. You're the renegade.
I think I actually just want to beat everybody at everything, but then I realize I lose. It's the worst part. See how it challenges people to fights and gets beat up. That's all it is now. I'm realizing I don't even think there is self-sabotage. I think it's just like, look out, here I come. One punch, I'm out. Well, I guess I lost that fight. So, and there were people like, wait, who's making fun of me? I don't know who that is. I'm busy playing a sold-out Radio City Music Hall tonight. I'm sorry. I don't know who that is. These 5,000 packed... these 5,000 fans are kind of in between me knowing who you are, but
well, if you ever want me to awkwardly broker peace between you and Colt Cabana, I'd love to do that too.
All right, maybe we'll get there.
If you need me to be like your social fixer,
yeah,
go out into the world.
Yeah. What a
befriend the people you've taken some pot shots at.
What a state of affairs that Chris Gethard is the guy fixing my social situation. Like, it's just like, don't worry, Chris can smooth this over.
Yeah.
It's like, isn't Chris the guy who, like, did you read his book? He's like, he's the guy who went down to Princeton to fight a guy who got him bounced from his
AOL
instant messenger.
Yes.
And when we were working on your turning your book into a TV thing, and we were just like, let's go to the different places. And then we went to Princeton, and I could see how mad you were getting as we walked around the campus. You're like, that's the building right there that guy was in. Like, you were seriously...
seething resentment. Yeah.
Like, it showed, like, boom. It was right back. You're just like, yeah, it was that door. It was the door I went through.
I have a lot of anger inside.
What was that bully's name?
Amr.
I know you changed
it. I changed it. His real name was Amr. I'll say it. Yeah. Amr.
Oh, wow. I used to say it. Exclusive.
And what did you change it to?
Derek or something like that.
Derek.
Was Derek just arbitrary?
Dude, the phone call, I didn't know this. When you write a book, mm-hmm. a lawyer, you have to have a call with a lawyer. The lawyer reads the manuscript, and they have to go through it, and they go over everything, and they're like, did this really happen? Would you say in court that this happened? This person, how well do you know them? We should change their name. We have to change mm-hmm. this name, that, blah, blah, blah. The best thing said to me on the lawyer call about my book, I've never forgotten this. I had to put the phone on mute. And this is like on a call with, it's one of these calls, it's like, you know, three lawyers and then all my, the literary agent who sold the book, the publishing company, me, like 15 people on this call. And the lawyer goes, look, I'm just going to put this one out there. You cannot say that a girl kissed wieners under the boardwalk unless you personally saw her kiss wieners under the boardwalk. Like a lawyer had to say that. A lawyer had to say that to me, the phrase kiss wieners, twice in the same sentence. That was said to me. And then the phone, the line was just silent, and I realized every single person was pushing mute on their phone because they were either laughing or going like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why is this being published? Why is this coming into existence? But all that being said, yes, Tom, I would happily
broker between me and Colt Cabana.
I will broker the peace between you and Colt. Good friend of mine.
He seems like a nice guy.
The sweetest. Best guy.
So you're living life. You're living with him in Scotland.
Him and two Australian comedians.
Okay.
Craig Quartermain and Brendan Burns. Brendan Burns, who is a fast-talking maniac who I came to love very quickly.
Okay.
Doing my show every night, 10 mm-hmm. p.m., about suicide. That's a little bit of a late slot. You don't want drunks at the show.
Yeah.
I'm in a space where to leave for the bathroom, you have to walk across the stage.
Okay.
So every single night, I'm in the middle of talking about, like, a time I crashed a car on purpose, which is not the easiest thing to talk about. And then a drunk Scotsman just plods across the stage on his way to the bathroom, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. interrupting it. There was one night where at my show about my suicide and depression issues, there was a Scottish bachelor party. They call them stag parties.
Okay.
And I've never encountered this. These guys, a couple guys get up and leave, and I'm like, that's fine. You know, if you don't know what this show is, I get it. There's other shows that aren't like this heavy. Mm-hmm. And then a few more guys leave, and I call it out. I make some jokes, and then a few more guys leave, and I'm finally like, what's going on? And then somebody's like, there's like 15 more of them. It's a stag party. And I was like, oh, no. And I said, I go, hey, like, I get it that if you wanted, this is not a bachelor party show, and if you want to split,
yeah,
I understand. And they were like, no, we're good. We like it. We're into it. You're doing good. So I start going again, and then two more of them leave, and I realized they were strategically timing their walkouts to ruin the show. It was brutal.
What?
They were leaving every 5 to 10 minutes on purpose just to mess with the show,
so
mess
you,
with me.
So you would never get your feet under you.
No momentum. But most of the audiences were good, but there were a few incidents like that. And I met some friends of Tom out there. The friends of Tom are very nice to me.
They're very nice people.
Very, very kind, yeah.
Very nice people. And people are saying on Twitter that you have to watch out because Kiss Wieners is actually, Gene Simmons has that registered.
Oh, wow.
And trademarked. So you...
Yeah, that's his brand. He has like a hot dog brand.
Yeah, it's his hot dog. Hey, Mike, who's good here?
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Yeah, you know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC.
Yeah. And look, I didn't mean what I said before, Mike. I don't think you're at all boring. I'm serious. Did you hear that part? Good. Don't take it serious. You know I'm teasing you. I think you're super interesting. Oh boy. Best show.
Hello?
Hi,
this is Lori.
Lori, where are you calling from?
I'm a Queens girl, but I'm in Florida.
You're in Florida now.
Well, I live in Queens.
Yeah.
Chris lives in Queens. Chris Gethard. For the time being, until this until this off-Broadway money starts pouring in.
Oh, yeah, that notorious off-Broadway money.
You'll be in the Dakota. You and Lorne Michaels.
Oh, my dream to hang out. With Lorne
Michaels?
Lorne, constantly. Yeah.
What about the guy who played the Lorne Michaels type guy in Don't Think Twice?
His name's Seth Barish, very talented.
Yeah, he was, he made it seem, it was kind of like a Lorne Michaels, Lou Pearlman combination. Like, he had like a sleaze element to him where he seemed like, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sorry that movie got under your skin, Tom.
No, it didn't get under my skin.
It seems like it did.
Look, what if I made a movie? Why can't I make a movie?
You can make a movie.
I don't have an advocate, though. He's got Ira Glass helping him out with everything.
You're an extremely
talented. Who do I got? Fredericks from Newport Richie? What's he going to help me? This guy burns Christmas trees for heat. People listen to my show, Sal.
You got me, Tom.
I got you. Look, Impractical Joke.
We're on the same team now.
But you're selling out Radio City. Chris is an off-Broadway star.
I don't know that that's true just yet. I need all these friends of Tom to buy tickets before I can claim I'm a star.
And they should. It's FOT10. If you go to careersuicideshow.com, you can buy tickets to see Chris Gethard's one-person show.
Career off.
Suicide. Get $10 off if you're listening to this show. Now, Lori, what do we owe the pleasure of this call?
I'm just a big Impractical Jokers fan, and I wanted to say hey to Sal.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Now, what's your favorite punishment that Sal has had to endure?
Oh, my God. I feel so bad for him. Half the stuff he's had to do.
Go ahead. Sorry, Laura. Huh? I mean to cut you off. You go ahead. Sorry.
No, I think it was probably having him have help deliver the cast.
Yeah, that was recent.
Yeah, that's a rough one.
That was a 100-degree day, just to add a little pepper to that story.
A little pepper.
It smelled really, really, really bad. And there was a lot of fluids cut out from television. There was a lot of fluids. We didn't want it to be too gross.
Because you had to help deliver a calf. And for people who don't know, who don't watch the show.
Funny.
You basically, it's
so funny.
It's the four of you. And you have a little ear piece in, and they're telling your three friends. You tell everybody's up at the plate at throughout the episode. So, and when you're up, then you have to get told what to do. And if you can't do it, then if you lose, you have to do a punishment, and you have no choice in it. You have to go through with whatever it is.
How does production time it out where a calf is born when you need it to be born?
That was unbelievable to me. They induced like 10 that day. And we got there like 7 a.m. and just waited.
Wow.
They induced. So you went from having a staff where you personally were booking locations, and now you can have farmers induce 10 calves? You can bring 10 animal lives into the world at your command?
Yeah, this is what they do over there. The guy said he had delivered 15,000 cows in his lifetime. So
they just you delivered one.
I delivered. And it is something else, let me tell you.
You don't like animals. Wow. You're not a big animal lover.
No, I appreciate a good animal, but sure.
Like the fear, you like the idea of an animal.
No, I just don't like cats.
Okay,
but other animals I'm fine with. Mm-hmm. You know, but I put my hand. See, you had to put your hand in the cow's vagina.
Sure.
So I put my hand in there, but at one point I stopped when my hand was in. I was like, is this cow pregnant, or am I just fisting a cow? Like, because that would be messed up if the cow was not pregnant. Yeah. But then you tie a rope. You reach in and tie a rope to the calf in there. Oh. And then you yank it out like a tug of war.
Leg?
Yes, you tie two legs. You tie a knot around it, and you pull the thing out. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's the size of us. but before it happens, there's a sack. There's a sack that starts filling with fluids. Picture, you ever make a water balloon?
Yeah.
And you clip it onto the sink and you turn it it keeps going like that. That's what happens for hours until the sack filled with, by the way, unidentified fluids to you and I, until it's that big. And then it bursts. And at that point, you're ready to go in there. And the cow is walking around with that sack swinging back and forth for like hours, and I'm like behind it, just waiting in 100-degree heat. And this was a cow where they a farm where they don't kill cows. It was a milk farm strictly, so it was like just manure, and the manure gets sour because of the heat, and so it's. The smell was a smell I had never smelled before, but I will never forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, so that was a bed punishment.
And cats you don't like. And cats. Cats, I don't like. I think cats would probably, if I was going through that, I think cats might come in second to cows for me if I was you. I'd probably be like.
I can't trust a cat. I just, they have claws and they don't listen and they just. They invade your personal space. They have no respect for authority.
Now, when you had to walk into that cage of cats, when did you realize that that was going to be a cat related? When, like in the how you did what it. Was the setup? So you got the punishment, and then they're just like, you have to go speak to this group.
Yeah, so that one particularly was pretty secretive because I got in front of them and said, hello, thank you for coming. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing that, I did not know what was going on still.
So you had no idea it had anything to do with cats?
No. And then when I hit the button, whatever it said, this was a while ago. But
to trigger the screen.
Then at that moment in front of them and on camera was the first time I was receiving that information.
That cats were involved.
Yeah.
And then you had to pull a sheet off of a cage behind you when it was filled with cats.
Yeah.
And you had to go in, and that was it. Just watching you in there with those cats, and you had to lay on the floor. Like, you seriously, is it giving you the heebie-jeebies? Like,
No, it is. It is. I've had bad experiences with cats. I'm not trying to, like, I'm sure there's good cats.
Yeah.
But I had I grew up with a friend who had a cat that attacked me every day.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, it was kind of like no way to grow up, really. And then I just feel like they're just wild cards.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, they just like in the cage, they started fighting with each other. I don't want to be around that.
And you're stuck in
there. Predatory things, you know, like they just. And I have also, I have OCD with things pointing at my eyes.
Okay.
So, like, for example, if you had, like, a fountain pen here or something that was pointing at me, I would literally right now be curling my feet up because I'd have to move it away from me.
Sure, sure.
It's kind of a little bit crippling. So I would, like, sometimes I'll lay down in bed, and if I see stuff pointing at me, I get up and have to turn them in my house. So it started with things poking me in the eye because what happened was my sister hit me in the eye.
Okay.
This is where I trace it back to, with a Malibu Ken. At a very young age, and I fell back, hit my head. I had to go to the hospital. Now, that scar is here. It's 30 years. It's
Right
there. Yeah, I see it.
Right?
Okay.
People think I'm always stoned or drunk. I don't. Yeah. I'm not. Yeah. I just that. I think that's where I trace it back to. And it's so cats.
Ken-related injury.
Cats, very quick claws, you know, like things like that. So I don't like them.
What would you be more scared of? If a group of cats were coming at your eyes, or suddenly some Malibu Kens came to life? And we're coming at your eyes.
You know, I got to go with if Malibu Kens came to life, because that's really extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there might be a sense of wonderment at first. You'd be like, they're alive.
It would immediately dissipate, though, when they started to attack my eyes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lori, thank you for the call.
All right. Love you guys.
We love you, too.
Yes. Bye. So, Chris Gethard, this show, Career Suicide.
Yeah.
You're coming in now. It's strong. You beat this thing into shape after doing it every single night.
Yeah. It was intense.
Yeah.
The show got better for it.
Yeah. And now you're ready. You got Judd Apatow's producing it.
Yeah. I got Judd's blessing. He's very kind.
Okay.
He's giving me notes. I'm getting notes on this thing from Judd Apatow. My comedy that also has some sadness in it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting notes from probably the guy... maybe more than any other ever who you'd want to give you notes on that. I'm very lucky, but it's scary.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what's the goal for people to leave? Feeling hopeful or feeling like maybe the guy at that stag party would have just been like, maybe I shouldn't even get married. What's the point?
Well, that guy.
Like, that guy's show. Like, what? How do you want people to feel as they leave?
Well, you know, the honest answer is the main thing I want is, like, I want people to laugh. Like, it's a comedy show. I'm a comedian. I've spent many years being a comedian, and I want people to laugh, ideally really hard. And you know, it's like, it's just at the end of the day, it does deal with my honest experience in regards to some of this stuff. Like, I am on medication. I take it every morning, every night. Like, I have had some really tough, some tough times. That's not a joke. And I've had to process those times. And I feel like if I can speak about those things really honestly and make them really funny, then that's a good thing. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like all my favorite comedians are people who are honest in some way, either mm-hmm. what they're speaking to or the reactions they're getting. Like, honesty is the priority. And I do have it in my head of, like, you know, if it was when I was a kid and I realized something was up with me, I went into a shell. And when I would try to talk to people about it, I felt like a mutant. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, it felt like really scary and isolating. And I remember, like, my parents didn't know how to deal with it. They were like Irish Catholics from New Jersey. Like, we weren't really talking about depression. And so if I can make this show funny enough that somebody who's not really ready to have that conversation becomes a little bit more open to having it, mm-hmm. that wouldn't be a bad thing either.
Sure.
Like, I like it. Like, people have seen the show and said to me, like, you know, I have my own depression stuff, and the show is, like, speaking my language. And that means a lot. It really means a lot. But I've had a few people say, like, my kid or my brother deals with this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I think I get their perspective a little bit more.
Sure, sure.
And that means even more, mm-hmm. you know? So I think I'm, like always, you've known me long enough to know much of my current day choices are still guided by, like, stuff that made me pretty angry as a kid. And I think this show has elements of that in a big way of, mm-hmm. like, why did I spend so long feeling like I was on my own and nobody was ready to talk about it? So I'll just talk about all of it and hopefully make it really funny. And then maybe other people can let their guard down a little bit.
Sure. And you know, it's funny because you started off just doing comedy, and at some point who you are as a person informed your comedy more than for a lot of people. A lot of people do comedy and they do characters and they do stuff and they just focus on the funny side of things. But you are one of the few people to kind of come out of that whole improv world where you are you, and that's primarily who you're known as.
But I look back, even as an improviser, when I was doing improv, I look back and so many of my characters were like depressed people who resented successful rich people. Uh-huh. Like, so uh-huh. many of my characters were just venting the feelings I had.
Sure.
And the transition made a lot of uh-huh. sense. It was not much of a I wasn't exactly Brando going in uh-huh. deep on these things. It was always right at the surface.
But there were points where you're just like, I just want to be funny and I don't want to talk about sad stuff today.
For sure. And I think I've become known for that a little bit too much. And maybe that's like a little strange to say considering I'm mm-hmm. not doing this show. But there is also a part of me that feels like I've become a little known as being like a depression guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that to be my whole life. And I don't want that to be my whole career. And there is a part of me that feels like this is me putting that on the table more hardcore than I ever could.
Sure.
Like anyone who sees this show mm-hmm. is going to say, you have done your part. You have explained this away. You have tried to push back against the things that bother you about it. And now you can move on. That's another part too, is because I have a ton of other material that has nothing to do with this stuff. I have a lot of stuff that's not focused on this stuff. And I don't want to like perpetuate a reputation where this is the only thing I focus on, and I don't want to come off like I'm exploiting it somehow for gain. I'm not. No, it's just
nobody would take it that way.
Although I'm starting to hear that backlash because, you know, Tom, we'll get into me and this. You've never been around me and Tom. We'll get into it. Tom, I'm starting to hear some backlash from some other comedians.
Wow. From who?
I'm not naming names. You know me. I don't name names. You always try to get me to name the names, Tom.
Right. I'm not going to say it. No. Right. Write it down. I will never say it on the air. I wanted you to write a name down.
I can't do that. But I got people saying I'm trying to perpetuate an image as the depressed guy. And I'm like, really? Was I crafting an image when I was cutting my arms at the age of 19? Was that me crafting an image for 17 years later? Was I crafting an image when I crashed my brother's car into a wall on purpose? Was that me? Was I crafting an image? It gets me really mad.
Look.
There's no image here.
You just take care of yourself. You're doing great.
I've been
great.
Trying for years, man.
You're doing all right.
I'll sabotage it. I'll mess it up
you
somehow.
Won't. You won't. You're over the hump with some of that
I'll
stuff.
I'll be back on public access in 6 months. We all know it.
What's going on with
sounded like Tom now. Come on. Yeah.
There's a reason. There's a reason.
Wait, is that what I sound like? Oh, no.
There's a reason we're friends.
What's going on with the Chris Gethard show?
Things are looking good. I can say that. There's been a little, you know, everything's good. Everybody's feeling good about how season two went. We felt like the show was kind of, I felt like the show was back on track. Like season one, growing pains. Season two, I'm like, oh, it feels to me like there's episodes here that are better than anything we've done on Public Access.
And getting to do an hour.
Yeah.
That's the show has to be an hour, right?
I mean,
that's
problem.
The half hour. Those shows were fun, but it's like the thing that makes the show is when you guys get to spread out and really just run with a concept or have the chance for a thing to go whichever way it's going to go.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree with that. And there's been I obviously can't say too much, but everyone was really happy with season two. We were happy with it. The network was happy with it. And season three is, knock on wood, looking good. We just have to make sure everybody agrees that things like that were the best choice and are the way to continue, because I am someone who I would rather not do it than do it wrong. You know? Like, if I know in my gut that something's the right way to do it, that's the way I want to do it. And just want to make sure all those things are ironed out. But it's looking good. It's looking good. And everybody's been cool.
Good. Well, hopefully it comes back, because I love the show. And that, to me, I love that. Look, I love the side of you that talks about yourself and your experiences and your struggles and all that stuff. But I also love the part of you that gets to just be funny Chris.
Thanks,
too.
Man.
Like, I don't want that to get lost.
Well, they all go hand in hand, you know? Like, it's all just pouring the same stuff into a different container, and the Gethard Show container is pretty absurd, and that's a different thing, but...
Now, what does this mean for Fred from Honolulu? Do you know Fred from Honolulu?
You ever met this guy, Fred, Sal?
You'll meet him soon. I'm sure he'll be...
Oh, yeah. He's probably applied for a job on your show six times now.
Exactly.
The guy rides the hot hand.
He's a guy. He lived in Honolulu. He would call this show, and he'd be like, "It's me, Fred from Honolulu." Then one day, he says, "I'm moving to New York City." And where does he move? He moves from Honolulu, like paradise on earth. He moves.
I've been to that apartment. I've been inside the apartment.
He moves literally to where the San Gennaro Festival is happening. So he moves
one
from,
block in, you know that one block where they set up the big statue?
Yeah.
So he lives on that block. He moves from Honolulu to a Martin Scorsese set.
To a thing where people are eating Zeppelis and throwing up on his...
He's got the clown.
What's going on now? I just witnessed that a couple nights this week.
He's got the clown dunk tank right outside his window.
I saw a couple walking around there. The guy had one of those yard glasses, you know, that you get like Senor Frog, you drink a half gallon of alcohol, and his girlfriend had a stuffed banana, with a face on it, like, you know, like a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
And I was like, where are these people coming from? It's like, San Gennaro's on.
And
he plays me and Tom against each other. Fred, he's kind of a master manipulator, I would say.
Because he liked this show, and then suddenly Fred's like, "Oh, I'm hanging out with Gethard crowd now," and it's like, "Oh, okay." Then suddenly show goes to Fusion. Now Fred's like, he's like Chris's guy all of a sudden. I don't hear a peep from this guy. And he's all over Chris. Then Chris is between seasons. Then here comes Fred.
I'm sure he'll be. He's probably picking up the phone right now.
Out of the woodwork, Fred comes. "Hey, what's going on, buddy? What's going on? Brother. I'll say, "Hey, brother, what's going on?" "Brother? I guess Chris was your brother when the show was on. Now I'm your brother again." Then show comes back. No Fred. I don't see him anymore. He's over with that, and he goes on to... He's on the thing with Colin Quinn, his web show, and he's treating Colin Quinn like garbage. Like, he just, like... Now
I was at a wedding. I was at a wedding this past weekend with Fred. You would have thought Fred was getting married the way he was walking around.
Yeah, the mayor.
The cock of the walk.
Yeah. Now, I love him, but he'll be all over you. You'll be on set doing a thing, and a guy will come up to you and be like, "Hey, Sal, I'm Fred. How you doing?" And then he'll be all over you. Next thing, he'll start pitting you against other impractical jokers.
Yeah. Is he on Cop Show?
He's on Cop Show. But one of my favorite facts is that his name transformed.
Mm-hmm.
That in the Best Show community, in the Gethard Show community, he's known as Fred from Honolulu.
Yeah.
All the people associated with Cop Show know him as Freddy Hawaii.
Freddy Hawaii.
It's still pretty cool.
So you're going to wait till you
Freddy
meet
Hawaii.
When you meet this guy, Sal, you'll be like, oh, he's a good guy. And I'll be like, yeah, he is, because he's playing you right now.
And then he'll use you to try to get to Carbonaro.
Yeah. Next thing you know.
Gotta
yeah.
be careful. All
Next
right.
thing you know, he'll be all over Carbonaro, use Carbonaro to get to...
Conover.
He'll get down. Adam ruins everything.
All right, I'll be on high alert.
Fred ruins everything. That's what it is. Hey, you, Sal, are from Staten Island.
Yes.
Sal Vulcano of Impractical Jokers and the Tenderloins fame. Staten Island's premier comedy troupe. Look.
I should have known. How could I take that anyway but the way it was meant when you originally said it?
And Chris, you are obviously from New Jersey.
Proudly.
Now, I want to find out which one of you walks the walk better for where you're from.
Okay.
Mike, Terry, please come in. Mm. We're going to do, or they're going to quiz you each on who knows whether you, Chris, know New Jersey and you, Sal, know Staten Island. Who knows your own, wait, you're not. All right, come on in. Chairs.
So Mike asks me Jersey questions?
You don't need a chair. So Mike's going to ask you about New Jersey, and Terry's going to ask you, Sal, about Staten Island.
Terrific.
Okay.
So.
What's this little... Mike's got a little weird piece of paper. Terry has
he's
a
got
pad.
Questions.
Look at that.
They've
Terry
got
has
questions.
A whole... But yes. Look at Terry's nice pad right. versus yes. Mike's...
Mike's weird ransom notes.
That looks like the Unabomber scribbled that.
Yeah.
We spoke a lot about Staten Island... Tonight
That's around. Not fair.
Mike
Did
writes,
you hear that? Look, they've already been chatting about Staten Island.
All right. Well, there's the mic. Pick it up.
Terry, go first.
Okay. Well, you go first. It's a home court.
So how's this work?
So basically, you're going to ask, Mike's going to ask you, Chris, New Jersey questions.
Great.
And Terry is going to ask Sal Staten Island questions. We'll see who gets the most right.
Consequences.
Jersey is a way bigger thing to cover than
Staten Island.
Well, we'll find out.
Is it going to be like an impractical
township?
Is there like an impractical Joker style punishment at the end?
We'll find out. Look, it's like
get locked in a cage full of Freds.
One of us
cage full of Fred from Honolulu's.
So,
well, I know Chris's background with Weird New Jersey.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to keep these as weird as possible.
Okay.
So my first question, and I'll accept two answers for this question. Two answers. What is the smelliest part of the New Jersey Turnpike? What towns?
It's down by the refinery there. Mm-hmm. When you go past, what's that, like?
It's a very ambiguous answer.
No, it's like once you get past south of Elizabeth and you're in Linden and Rahway, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like, it looks
you
like.
You name both of them, Elizabeth and Linden, I would accept.
It's like a steampunk nightmare, yeah.
That's one for Chris.
See, being from Staten Island, though, that's 10 minutes from my house. I also knew that answer. So, okay. But I guess I won't
I know,
give credit
it's kind of like a...
Okay.
All right.
We're on. Already... I like that we're already...
There is a...
The Staten Islanders
Jersey.
Already... it's already becoming
Staten
a weird
Island
war.
Crossover, I feel.
Yeah. Well, you know that...
All right.
There was a boat race. Do you know about that? Staten Island and New York... New York and New Jersey both wanted Staten Island. They had a boat race to see who gets it. Did you know that?
Really?
Know that.
Yeah.
Wait, what was that?
Way back in
1982.
1982, yeah.
All right.
So, yes.
Here's the Staten Island question.
Sal.
I'm legitimately
all the
nervous.
Demographics of Staten Island, nationality-wise, what is the most populous nationality? Like race? Like
sure.
Not race, really.
Touchy question out of the gate.
Yeah. I will say that Chris's question was subjective, I believe.
Yeah.
This is very factual-based.
Yes.
Jersey guys look out for each other, man.
I will say, let's either Irish or Italian. I'm going to go with Italian.
Yes.
Okay.
Bonus.
It's one for Sal.
What's the second most populous?
I'll say Irish.
Yes!
It's 1.5.
Yeah.
That counts as a 0.5?
Sal's in the lead.
Does.
The Elizabeth Linden of nationalities, if you will.
All right, Mike. You have a question for Chris to see who can rep their home area. What do you call it? Chris's home state, Sal's home borough.
What multiple murderer and longtime fugitive lived in Westfield, New Jersey?
John List. Killed his family.
That's right.
His mansion. But you know, he could have just, you know this though? His house had a Tiffany glass door.
Right, now he's just showing off
he
now.
He could have sold it. He's a creep. He was a creep. He was one of the first people caught by America's Most Wanted.
And he worked with my father. And because the names were similar, that's how they knew each other.
His name is Lisk. So yeah, one letter off.
Yeah, did everybody think your dad was that guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I've never heard of him.
Yeah, John List.
Unbelievable. He got away for a long time.
He did.
John List.
Decades.
Right?
Caught him down in Virginia, I think.
Terry, the next Staten Island question for Sal Vulcano.
Yes. What do Staten Islanders call Manhattan? As in, complete the sentence. I'm going to...
The city.
The city. Thanks. That's right.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right.
And then people think we're not part of the city, but we are part of New York City.
Yes.
The royal.
So de Blasio is the mayor of Staten Island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's the mayor of the five boroughs.
Yeah. That's a lot of
Mike, question for Chris to test his New Jersey knowledge.
Howard Unruh, the first mass murderer in the U.S., killed 13 people in 12 minutes in Camden, New Jersey.
This is not a question.
What is this incident known as?
Howard Unruh killed 12 people in 12 minutes. Camden, New Jersey.
That's still happening in Camden, by the way.
Is it the Camden Massacre?
No.
I don't know this one. I don't know it. I missed it.
The Walk of Death.
The Walk of Death. Can we note the very hard question? I would like to think anyone who hears, what do people in Staten Island call Manhattan? The city is something that might come to mind versus the actions of Howard Unruh a century ago in Camden, New Jersey.
Yeah, this flip-flopped really fast, actually.
What do people call Manhattan? The city. What did Howard Unruh do in Camden? Yeah.
Pat, you want to get on the... Okay. Oh. Well, Terry, ask
what
the next
is this wild card? The wild card.
No, well, Pat's also lifelong New Jersey.
You know what? I'm going to stick up for my peeps.
Well, go with the next question.
What a nationality is Staten Island up for? Italian? Yeah, we all have TV,
like
man.
What's the first letter of the alphabet?
Okay. Okay. Is that your next one, Terry?
It is.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay.
Next question for Sal Vulcano.
Famous hip-hop group.
Oh, this is...
This from is Staten Island.
No,
Calling me bad.
But the Unruh clan.
I have to tack on to it.
Yes. Well, you don't even know the rest of my question.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, tack it on.
Oh, no, by
on.
All means, I want to hear the rest of the question.
Tack it on.
Wow. Let's hear the question.
Tack it on.
I'm going to say that Sal's going to have to name as many members of this hip-hop group as possible. Well, I don't know if he's going to even know who it is.
I was going to say, Staten Island is known as the Shaolin.
Yes.
What famous hip-hop group came up with that? But I think your question, yeah, that's kind of...
Well, this is what I'm going to modify this question.
You're going to modify
it. Number part one.
Part one.
Sal, you have to name as many members of, you can say.
Sure.
What's the name of the group?
The Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, the Wu-Tang Clan.
I should deliver pizza to them.
You have to name...
Whoa!
You have to name as many members as you can, and you have to say what street their short-lived store was on.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
Okay, which I know you... I know what street. What was the street?
Well, you mentioned it... Well, I, if you're talking about that clothing store...
Yeah, yeah.
It was on Victory Boulevard.
That's right, yes. It was on Victory Boulevard.
Wu-Wear.
Now, let's go... There's eight members. We're not going to count the ninth, who we all know is.
At what point are you going to start asking Sal about obscure murderers from centuries ago?
Don't worry. So go ahead,
Tom,
Sal.
You should have vetted the.
Sure. So you got Ghostface Killer.
Uh-huh.
You got Inspector Deck.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You got RZA.
Mm-hmm.
You got the Jizz. I can name their real names too if you want.
Oh,
you got, I don't mean to show off, but you know, you got Gary Grice, so otherwise known as the Genius.
Oh
the
my God.
You got Method Man, you got Old Dirty Bastard, you got Master Killer.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Raekwon, the chef.
That's right.
Did I get everybody?
No. Can I steal? Can I do the steal if I get the one he didn't name?
Did I say Method Man?
You missed the U God. You missed Golden Arms. You missed Golden Arms.
Well, I wasn't really. I was just getting a check if I named them.
Well, you named.
I'm getting weirdly competitive about this. Okay. I'm weirdly competitive about this.
The 10th is obviously.
The unofficial member?
Yeah. Capitana.
Yeah.
Capitana.
Yeah. Which gets his name because of.
Father, I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
Father Capitana
yeah.
Boulevard?
Yeah.
I lived on 161 Father Capitana Boulevard, and I wasn't sure about that.
Father, well, that makes
sense. Thousands of impractical Joker fans just headed to there yes. to leave flowers.
It was
flowers
a
on the
decade.
So go ahead, Mike. Oh, yeah. Next. Sal is in the lead now.
Hey, Mike, I hope you're modifying your question somewhat.
Don't modify.
Your jersey?
This arsonist murderer. From Mountainside. Yeah. This guy tortured people in Paramus. How many mutilated bodies did they find in his attic? And how many did they find in his basement?
According to Weird New Jersey, what is the smallest bar in New Jersey?
Oh, I know this. Is it the Wall Kill?
Chris works for Weird New Jersey.
Yeah, now you're embarrassing me. I'm trying to recall things from 2002 off the top of my head. The smallest bar in New Jersey. I gotta say, Mike, it hurts my feelings that you specifically said according to Weird New Jersey, knowing you were gonna undercut my cred if I got this wrong. The smallest bar in New Jersey. I know. I knew this at one point in my life.
Can I steal?
Yes. You know it?
Ooh. Is it you, God?
The steal.
Is it the Wall Kill Inn or something like that? No, what is it?
Stop it, Mike. Mike's making a face.
That was
so weird.
Really rattled me.
I don't even
he
know
really
what
rattled me, that face.
Mass's Tavern.
Mass's
in Bayonne, New Jersey.
That's the
yes,
smallest
you did an
bar?
Article. Yes, there was an article in Weir, New Jersey.
What?
About Mass's Tavern.
That must have been after my time.
Yes.
That's
that was a
really
trick
true.
Question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. According to Weird New Jersey.
Right.
I don't know if they...
All right.
But I actually...
I should have known.
Pat Byrne actually has a New Jersey... I think so. A somewhat fairer
okay.
yeah.
question.
Yeah, not
for Chris.
Not questions channeled.
That's for
through,
New Jersey.
Yeah. Through
did you
Mike's
okay.
House of Horrors.
And I should have known he was going to make that one about himself.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I feel like
I'm surprised.
I mean, I want my guys, what, I mean,
what's the smallest bar in New Jersey, and who was murdered there?
Yeah, who was murdered, and who sells shirts of it?
Who sells
like
shirts?
Mike sells these massive shirts. I'm going to say this. Drives me up the wall, Sal. He's got this Bandcamp page, apmike.bandcamp.com. He sells these massive shirts. He's making so much money on these shirts. He's like, I sold another batch. The guy at the post office is mad at me because I keep mailing them out all day. Can't take it anymore. I can't take this whole crew. This whole crew.
Howard Umra.
Yeah, Howard Umra. I get the Howard Umra had the right idea. I tell you. So go ahead, Terry. You have a question.
The city.
Pat Byrne.
Pat
has a somewhat, I guess, fair.
Okay, a fairer New Jersey question.
Slightly fair. It
okay.
may be tricky, but
for Chris.
It's geared. Okay. It's geared right for Chris.
Mm-hmm. Now that's gonna. If I get it wrong, I'm gonna look like a jerk.
Which. Okay. NJ pop punk band is made up.
Uh-huh.
Right Turn Eddie, Adam's Not Funny, Sit On It Potsy, One Cool Guy.
One Cool Guy and Right Turn Eddie are both real. I saw them both multiple times. What were the other two options?
Adam's Not Funny. Or Sit On It Potsy. Which NJ pop punk band
it's a great question.
Is made up?
I like that you're... I mean, and these are like early to mid-90s.
This
NJ
is. I'll say this. It's 97 to like
2002. Yeah, no, that's. I believe I remember a band called Adam's Not Funny. I don't. I feel like I would have remembered a band called Sit On It Potsy. So I'm going to say Sit On It Potsy is made up.
It's actually a trick question. None of them are made up.
Wow.
Wow. Right Turn Eddie. Right Turn Eddie wasn't bad.
I thought he was going to say it's a question. None of them are real.
Yeah.
Right Turn Eddie. Not a bad band.
Yeah.
Not a bad band.
All right. Ska punk. But yeah.
I'm giving I'm giving Chris 3/4 of a point.
I only get 3/4 of...
Okay, go ahead. What's the next Staten Island question?
I feel like giving Chris a New Jersey question. It's not fair.
I've got
Here's Sal's next question about Staten Island.
This is like, what is this?
What's
like,
the next?
Here's Terry. Here's the next question.
I mean,
complete
I, of
this phrase.
Of course I want Sal to win.
Here's the next one. Complete this phrase. Staten blank.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Easiest question.
All right, let's hear the Staten Island question. Don't do that.
My questions aren't that easy.
Okay, let's hear it. Terry T.
What state... Staten Island.
Well, well, that would just be. No.
All right, here we go. No, all right, I'm going to skip that one. Should I skip that one?
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, I should. Yeah,
skip the one that was a
the racist one.
Yeah, the racist one.
Yeah.
Oh, fine. It's a good racist one, though.
Yeah, skip it. You can do it all fair.
All right. Okay.
It's not that you were being racist.
No,
you were embodying.
This is like people were being against.
The less we talk about it, the better. What's the question?
Okay.
Here we go. Salvo County.
So you're under 21. Well, you have to think of a place, the coolest place to hang out. The Studio 54 of Staten Island was.
Well, I think that it would be because there were underage establishments you can get into, but I think where you're going is the Midland Avenue parking lot.
Parking lot, exactly.
Thank you.
This guy does know.
Hanging out in parking lots.
Good.
Drinking.
All right.
You're in a desolate, disgusting parking lot.
Next question for Chris.
I nailed that John List one.
Yeah,
it's been all downhill from there.
Yeah.
This electronics retail king recently died.
Crazy Eddie.
There you go.
Is that Jersey? Because we had one on Staten Island.
Well, I was going to mention the one on Route 18.
Yeah.
It was Jersey.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Right. I feel good about how aggressive I was about
final
it.
Question,
I feel
final
like that was
question.
A good alpha move.
Final Staten Island question.
Oh, really? Only one more question?
Only one more. Make it count. Go.
No. Okay.
Here we go.
Ah, what is the Fresh Kill?
That is a landfill that has since been closed. It was the largest landfill, I think, on the planet. You could see it from space. We used to ship garbage to us, and that we closed that about 10 plus years ago. And now they're converting that into, literally the biggest park in the United States. But it's going to be dangerous. I don't know if I want to set foot on that.
Well, you know what happened is, they did close it, but they reopened it to put the 9/11 debris in. So sad.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
But
why did...
Final New Jersey question.
Okay.
Pat Byrne asking.
I've lost mathematically.
I have a jewel.
Mathematically, you did not. Mathematically, if you get this... You'll be 1/4 of a point ahead of Sal.
What?
This one is not as specific to you as the last, but...
How
your
did
questions
he
have
hasn't
tougher.
Missed any.
Yeah, but I think you should. It should be a scale, because yours have been tougher.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll
trust
take
me.
It.
Which Goodfella...
Which Goodfella...
...is not from New Jersey?
Oh, wow, okay.
Joe Pesci.
Uh-huh.
Frank Vincent. Or Paul Sorvino.
You remember Frank Vincent.
He's the one.
Go get your shine box.
Oh, let's go get your shine box guy? Okay. Yeah.
He's also from Sopranos.
Yeah.
Got his head run over by the SUV.
Oh, now I see. I was leaning Vincent wasn't from New Jersey, but he was in Sopranos too. But I.
But he repped New York.
Yeah, he did rep New York, didn't he? He was part of Johnny Sack's crew.
And then the final one you said was?
Paul Sorvino.
No, I think it was Frank Vincent was not from New Jersey.
It's Paul Sorvino.
Wow.
Frank Vincent grew up in Jersey City.
Oh, the winner, Sal Vulcano.
I let everybody down.
Sorry, Chris.
Wait, we actually have everybody down. Tiebreaker.
Well, there wasn't a tie, though.
I mean, we have a question.
Okay,
bonus
question.
That applies to both, weirdly, Staten Island and New Jersey.
This question is worth 45 points.
Okay. Do we work together on it? How do we answer
how does this work?
Just whoever I'm so gets embarrassed.
You got a buzz, and for Chris, the buzzing is you have to say, baby, we were born to run.
Uh-huh.
And Sal, you have to say, you have to say the thing. You have to say the thing from the Wu-Tang Clan album about the how they torture the people. You have to do that whole thing in its entirety with the hot.
You don't want me to curse.
With the drawer.
You have
and
to beep. You have to beep yourself.
I'm kidding. You have to say one torture from that.
Okay.
In a radio-friendly way.
Sure.
From the.
Tom, I feel like I let down all of New Jersey.
You didn't.
All right. Here's the question. What writer based a famous thing, which I will say what it is, from his view of Staten Island, from his childhood home in Bayonne, New Jersey, he based King's Landing.
Baby, we were born to run. George R. R. Martin. George R. R. Martin.
I'll show your butthole clothes and keep feeding you.
George R. R. Martin. George R. R. Martin. Baby, we were born to run. George R. R. Martin.
I forgot what my buzzer was.
George R. R. Martin. George R. R. Martin.
Can you believe that? King's Landing.
Chris gets 45 points.
The Game of Thrones is based on Staten
Island. I didn't know that.
New Jersey wins. Sorry, Staten Island.
Sorry. Wow. And I went down saying, I'll sew your butthole clothes and keep kidding you. I went down in true Staten Island fashion.
You did.
Exactly.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Thank you, quizzers.
Thank you, guys.
Can I ask the question, the racist one now?
No. Oh. Dude. Oh, and this guy's wearing his Doctor Who thing. What is going on here? What does it? This doesn't even have anything to do with what tonight is a. Nobody mentioned Doctor Who the whole night, and you're where? Oh, so that's what it was. There was an absence of Doctor Who that made you put your. Look, if it was the other impractical joker, then you wear your Doctor Who thing all day long, and he'll be doing cartwheels, right?
Cute.
Brian Quinn, who's friends with. Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Right? He's on that that whole scene, which... does that comic book stuff drive you nuts a little bit? He's always talking about new issue of Daredevil. And just like,
no, he doesn't really talk about it that much. I mean, he's... Well, he knows all about it, but I don't have that many conversations with him about it.
You kind of glaze over a little bit if it comes up. Make it clear we're not talking about this.
We don't really talk about it. I mean, I have a surface level of... fondness of comics, but he's like a encyclopedia.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, which of the four impractical jokers, if it's you or Q or Joe or Murr, which of the four would be most likely to die in jail?
Okay. I would have to say Murr.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. Even though he would probably say me, but he is the tiniest.
Okay.
And probably most prone to be taken advantage of, I believe.
Okay.
Also, he has sometimes can have an arrogance about him that I think would land him in hot water with the wrong people.
Sure. So he'd be like walking out of the yard, and then that's when it's like.
Yeah, for me, I immediately know I gotta go punch the biggest guy right in the face or whatever.
Which I'm sure works so well when you just go punch the biggest guy that he leaves you alone for the next 11 years.
Right.
You realize we're in here every day and you punch the biggest guy
terrible
in the face.
Terrible life hack.
He's just gonna be like, look, I'm here for, I got a triple life sentence. But that guy, to be fair, did come up to me and punched me in the face. I'm in here for the rest of my life. I can't do anything about that guy now. Yeah. I treat that guy like he's in charge.
Should I be scared? No. T-Bone said it was over before it started.
Yeah, he said. Now, which impractical joker would be most likely to win a major award?
A Christmas Story reference?
No, I mean just like in, like, you know, like... Which would be most likely to get the EGOT?
Ooh.
I think we're looking at him. Yeah,
you really? Can't say it, but I think it's you.
Oh, I would never. I wasn't thinking me. I was probably thinking Q. But
no, I think it'd be you. I think it'd be you. You'd you'd get the you'd pull all four Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony.
That's not very kind of you. I don't know. Can I? Am I eligible for a Tony?
Oh. Chris is. Are you eligible for a Tony now?
I think they call them the Obies.
Oh, yeah.
The Broadway ones.
That's right. So, which of the Impractical Jokers is most likely to be married three or more times?
He's hysterical. I got to go with Murr again on that one. How do I answer this? You know, from what I glean from my relationship with him, he constantly likes to be challenged and likes new things.
Okay.
And so I think there'd be some turnover there in relationship status, more so than, let's say, me, who, you know, is much more of a kind of a straight and narrow kind of committed person.
Okay.
Yeah. How was that?
That was a great answer.
Yes. It's
very fair to your friend.
Yes.
Now, which of the Impractical Jokers is most likely to be...
I have to say Murr, because...
to actually move to a different country and never come back to America.
Q.
Okay.
Yeah, Q without a doubt. Q has that air, a whimsy air to him. He likes to travel. He likes solitude at times. He could be a great introvert.
Okay.
And so I feel like he would be like, I'm going to go live in a shack in the mountains and write.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Now of these punishments, which was the worst to you? The bingo one, which is maybe the most skin-crawling thing I've ever seen in my life, where you were at, Foxwoods Casino?
That's right. Yes.
And you had to keep in this room full of people playing bingo.
1,100 blue hairs.
Gambling. Yeah. Like, actually spending money to play bingo in a casino, and you had to yell, I got bingo. How many times did you have to say it?
I'm guessing in a neighborhood of 10.
Okay. Then you just had to keep saying... And you didn't have it.
No. I didn't have it at all. This is new bingo, where they project your cards. When you call it, they have a number, and they project it on the on like a 20-foot screen. So the first time I yelled bingo, everyone took inventory of how much I did not have bingo.
Okay.
And how much I would need to have bingo.
Yeah.
So the second time I yelled bingo, they already knew it was still mathematically impossible for me not to have the bingo.
Nobody could have gotten bingo.
So the first one was like, oh, you know, God bless.
He doesn't
anyone
know.
Anyone could make a mistake. Sure. And then after that, it was just mounting like...
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, you know, I hosted bingo while I was on the Impractical Jokers cruise.
That's right.
Now that cruise...
Yeah.
It was where it left from Miami. Mm-hmm. And it was, how was it, a week-long cruise?
I think five.
Four or five days?
5 days, yeah.
Okay.
It was the best.
And it was Chris.
I've been trying to convince Tom that he should do a cruise.
I can't do it. Can you imagine? Chris wants to do a
Get their show, best show cruise?
Yes.
Mutants on the High Seas, you
called
it.
Mutants on the High Seas. I would be praying for some sort of Captain Phillips situation. I'd be like, you're fine. You're the captain now.
People still ask me about it. Friends of Tom, they come up to me still. They ask me, when are you going to convince Tom to do the Mutants on the High Seas?
More power to him. Let me know how the cruise goes.
I hosted the bingo with Vacation Jason. He went on a rant where he started yelling, money is a construct, capitalism is evil, and they cheered him.
That guy.
Gamblers cheered him as he slammed capitalism.
This guy who's one of Chris's, he's a character.
He was such a hit on the boat. You guys did, that was such so cool what you guys did.
He became like the most...
And the way that you like documented and stuff, it was its own like story.
All
it was so
I did
great.
Was documented as this guy became the king of the boat. You know, he's having a roast. There's a roast of Vacation Jason coming.
I know. I'm gonna
put him on a spit.
I will not be in town for that.
Oh, that's a shame.
I was asked to be a part of it, and I gleefully said to him, "No." It's also that great thing when someone emails you to be a part of their own roast. It's not at all low rent at all when they say, hey, I'm doing a roast of me. Will you come and roast me at my roast of me? It's like, yeah, this is total amateur hour. Sorry, kid.
That could have been what you let off with at the roast.
I think I just did the roast. I think I just did it. The bingo one was brutal. When you couldn't apologize to anybody in, where was that in, was that in like, Washington Square?
Was that Union Square?
No, Union Square.
Where I had to give the older lady the finger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, the worst is when you had to blow the air horn behind the woman and you did one of the funniest take. It was almost like Woody Allen in Bananas when he's on the subway and he's like fixing the hoodlums. Almost, they were just like, just like, because you had to do these things and could not apologize, and you had to step on someone's foot.
Started off small, yeah. To tell a child they were ugly. Sneeze on someone, blow an air horn right behind someone's face, and then ultimately give the middle finger to someone.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
And how about that and the one when you were at the one with the phone ringing at the whose phone is ringing. That ringer haunts me. It's Terry is always saying, whose phone is ringing? Mine. And it's just
written by Casey Jost, a dear friend and one of the writers and contributors on our show. Mm-hmm. He's very great with that stuff.
So you had to be at it at a, what was it, like a everybody's reading there?
It was a book club reading. It was a real one that we, you know, like, that we just kind of were able to join, like, one person on the inside. And people took turns reading passages from their own writings.
Yeah.
And so the cell phone, they gave me a cell phone, and then they kept calling me, and the ringer is like, whose phone is ringing? Mine. It's mine. Whose phone is ringing? Yeah. My phone. It was just like a really obnoxious.
The worst ringer ever.
And they rang it, and I couldn't turn it off. Like, people got used. I mean, there's a really low tolerance there. Like, right away, why, you know, there's no way you don't know how to shut your own phone, so do it.
Yeah.
Like, that kind of thing. And then within, by the third time, I feigned, like, stupid. I was like, I don't even know, I got it. So then people were coming over and shutting it, and they were like, turn it back on.
So you had to turn it back on,
and that was really, you know, you picked three of the ones that, like, because I forget. We've been doing it so long. I'm revisiting these nightmares. Mm-hmm.
If you close your eyes, what is the one where you're just like, this is beyond comedy now, and this is actually hurting my heart as a human being on Earth with other human beings? Like, which one comes to mind first?
I mean, there's so many. Like, you wouldn't think that interrupting that book club was a big thing, but it is. It is terrifying. It's unsettling. You feel like you get a feeling that comes from the inside of your body, that like you just start like emitting like flop sweat, and you feel like it's a pit in your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with the bingo, and you start to like literally feel a little bit nauseous, because no matter what.
Does, like, your vision ever change? Do you almost feel like, you know, when suddenly it feels like your hands are bigger than they are, almost, or you're just like,
just out of body kind of surreally. Yeah, you could feel that at times. It was hard to give that old woman a finger and tell the baby that it was ugly. That it was. And without saying sorry.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'd have to think. You know, I should be ready to answer these types of questions. But the fact of the matter is I felt that so often that it's just hard to, like, think of, like, which one is the, like, most prominent, profound one.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Again, reading at the wedding was, there was a time that I had to go before the city council and pitch senior citizen playgrounds, and it was the real city council, and
that was New York.
Uh-huh. No, it was like somewhere in at a different. It was a bit of a drive, and it was a senior citizens playground, and I had to I couldn't leave until they gave approval for the project, and we scoped out a place that we would do it, and it was all these things like. Isolation Island, like for when they just want to be alone. There's a section in the park and a complaining booth and like all these other things. And there was statues of children so they could like talk to the family that doesn't visit them and things like that. And like I was pitching that, and then they took it serious and were like completely like incredulous about it. And I kept on having to push for approval. That was like really, really tough too. And then I like, yeah, like, I don't know.
And after those, do you just go like, do you like put like a cold cloth on your face and just like sit in the dark somewhere after like how, what is the cool down like off of really intense ones?
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes you get adrenaline, you get racing and stuff like that. I've definitely had times where like I came out of one and had like a headache because it's that palpable, like the feeling sometimes, you know what I mean? Sometimes not. And sometimes because of our skin has grown thicker, you know, I also know I'm trying to make a funny show, but like the best I can do is just try to play it real. Like I'm not like, you know, like sometimes to test ourselves, we'll do stuff that when we're not filming. Mm-hmm. To get that feeling back of like, remember what it's like without a net.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, I kind of try and dip my toe in that water was when I'm not filming, just so I can like pull from it when we're filming.
And I think one of the funniest ones was when there was a thing going, when that kid was supposed to spray a water pistol and it was just like, and the kid kept getting it wrong. And then on the fly, the other guys decided they were actually going to keep making this kid do it wrong to just make you get madder and madder that one of the setups isn't working.
Yeah. I was upset there because the kid was shooting people with the water gun.
Yeah.
That was never the bit. It was called Zero to Hero or something like that. Mm-hmm. And what it was a kid had to go up, and I was sitting on a park bench, and he had to go to the person right next to me and be like, stick him up! And he would go to shoot the kid, the person. And then I'd jump in front and take the bullet.
Yeah,
sprayed. And then I think I'd look like I did them a favor, but then I'd say something horrible to the kid.
Okay.
But then the first time the kid went, he fell. And I was like, oh my God. And I went and got him like, you're okay. Don't worry about it. Like, we'll just do it again. Don't worry. And then the second time he did something wrong. And I was like, don't worry about it. And then what they did was like, they were like, let's just make this kid keep shooting and doing everything wrong. I wasn't mad at the kid. I was mad that they weren't, because I was mad that innocent people were, no one was ever supposed to be squirted with a water gun.
Yeah.
So like, I was like, you can't keep on spraying these people on their lunch break and hosing them down. And I was like, where is the communication breakdown coming? Yeah. Because I was getting mad at our staff. And then, of course, they taped that, which is not really like, you know. Hopefully people saw it as me committed to making a good show.
I thought you came off as just like, this is wrong, and we need to figure out where the breakdown is taking place.
Okay, good.
And that you were just like, this can't happen. Like we can't be doing this.
Right.
And then you were just like, is this a bit? And they were like, no. And then you actually went back in and it kept happening. It was so, it's funny when like the level of pranking gets so inside like that, to where even you who are so attuned to it are on the wrong end of it.
Right.
Let me just read something here. My friend Neil Michael Haggerty, he's the guy from, he was in Pussy Galore, and now he's in, and he was in the Royal Trucks, and now his band, Neil Michael Haggerty and the Howling Hex. It's 2016, it's the year of the Hex, ladies and gentlemen. That's Neil Michael Haggerty and the Howling Hex. And for Neil and the Hex, it's been the year of Denver, their album about the city that launched maybe even 50 Howling Hex live shows, a career high in regard to the average given Hex activity of any calendar year. They played London, Prague, Chicago, Sioux Falls, the home office back in New York, and now Neil and the band were at Live in Leeds and Louisville, and that's not all of it. While they were in London, they cut a single, and now it's here to fill the void. The place you didn't know you were missing. It's the place you stick full moon in Gemini when you're feeling low. Slap it on, flip it over, flip it back, turn it over again. Both sides are two parts of the same song, so you can't go wrong. It's just like those great two-sided singles like American Pie and What I Say. The record makes the same amount of sense no matter what direction you play it in. Full Moon in Gemini is now available from it's in discerning record shops. And you can, or you can forget stores. You go to dragcity.com and check it out. Neil is a friend of the show, and he's a friend of mine, and he's on tour now. So go see Howling Hex if they're coming to your city. You can get tour dates over at dragcity.com. Neil recorded a single. Check that out. Who's good here, Mike? Two. Best show.
Hello, this is the Gregulator.
Oh, my goodness. It's Chris Gethard's brother, the Gregulator. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Hi, Sal. I'm a huge Impractical Jokers fan. One of my favorite shows ever.
Oh, that's so cool, Greg. We've never met, but I am well aware of you and what you do.
Oh, wait, what does he do,
brother to Chris? I'm in tune with a lot of the stories and contributions and mm-hmm. things that you've done. So hello, it's so nice to talk to you for the first time.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for lying about having heard of me. I really appreciate.
I knew exactly
that.
When you, because Chris turned to me and mouthed, "It's my brother," but I knew, yeah. I knew right away.
And he mouthed to me and said, "Hang up."
I wanted to talk about, you know, like, as you said before, this has become the year of Chris, Tom.
Yes.
And I wanted to talk about how big time my brother has gotten and how he has forgotten, how he forgot me last week.
All right, let's see. I got to hear this. Go ahead.
He was on the Colbert Show last week.
He was. Right? He did really great.
Yes. And I was on my way up to New York because I haven't seen Chris in a while. Mm-hmm. Since he was in his triumphant Europe adventure. And he gave me a call on the way up and said that he got booked on Colbert, and did I want to go? Of course I did, right? So I get up to New York, and I am taking the train over. I get off at the subway stop. When I got on the train, it was a beautiful Manhattan afternoon. When I got off the train, it was a downpour. And I had to get to the studio by 5:30, and Chris and his wife had texted me, like, where are you? You got to get here. Mm-hmm. So I run through this downpour, and Chris, I would suffice to say, when I finally got into the room, I probably looked like the biggest maniac in the world, like dripping wet, clad in a towel.
In classic Greg Gethard luck, Tom, it rained hard for, it was a beautiful day, it rained hard for about 7 minutes, and these were the 7 minutes my brother was outside and completely unprotected. So he shows up at the Colbert green room, I mean, soaking wet. It looks like he took a shower with his clothes on. They gave him a towel. They went and found a towel for him.
Yeah. And who was in the room next to us as I'm cowling up in the freezing cold green room?
Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson. And I am, you know, like, freaking, me and Chris are both freaking out about Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
And, but on top of me freaking out, I am freezing cold and shivering and trying to act like I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris does his segment, and it's great. And then they, like, kick you out of the theater immediately. And I'm in my wet, dripping, horrible clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris's manager says to Chris, oh, we have your car service for your next meeting. And Chris gets whisked away in a car to whoever he's going to meet with.
Yeah, and
in my dripping wet clothing left to fend for myself. Mm-hmm. No ride offered to me. Yeah. And I need to get out of my clothing.
Okay. Yeah.
So what I do is I go to the nearest store, which is a tourist store where people were buying, like, those Statue of Liberty hats. And I ended up buying a pair of sweatpants. They only had one brand of sweatpants. They had the NYPD on the leg with the badge. And they were roughly built for the size of Draymond Green.
Okay.
But the owner, the proprietor, kept on insisting me it was one size fits all. And he was kind of fibbing, but I needed to get out my clothing. And then, so to pair it with my NYPD sweatpants, I purchased an FDNY top because you want to mix and match.
Yeah.
And then I asked the guy at the store if they had a dressing room I could change into. And, of course, they don't. So I'm like, I really need to get out my clothing. And he's like, just come behind the counter. and I'll block you, and you can change here. So I stripped to like my underwear briefly behind like a man at like NYC chorus.
Yeah.
Well, people are buying like mugs.
Yeah, you were like you were like in the Seaside Heights parking lot, like a mom holding a towel up while a kid changes. So you changed behind the counter.
Yeah, I changed behind the counter, and then I had to get to Astoria, and the subway that takes you to Astoria was not working anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So then they tell you. The closest train I have to get is at Times Square. So, obviously, no one in their right mind wants to go to Times Square ever. But I am now wearing, like, these oversized NYPD sweatpants.
Yeah. You're like the ultimate tourist now.
Yeah. And I had to tuck my shirt into the sweatpants for that, like, a little bit of leverage so they wouldn't keep falling down.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, pulled all the way up to like the middle of my chest. Horrible sweatpants. And I had to, you know, walk to Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
Cab drivers were not picking me up. Like one cab driver pulled up to the side and saw what an idiot I looked like and like took off.
Yeah.
And that was my adventure while Chris is in the middle of you know, hobnobbing with the comedy elite
or working, you
what
could
can
call
I say?
It.
Or working.
I had another press obligation.
I'm getting money.
I had another press obligation,
he's supposed to pull the... No, I'll cancel that interview. My brother got wet, and I need to make sure he gets dry. So I know I was going to go do another interview to promote my... I'm finally got my show. I finally have something going my way. But let me throw it all out, because my brother is wet, and he's not happy that he's wet, so we'll drive back to Astoria in the car rather than me promote my off-brand. You know what, Greg?
That was
a very funny story, but you had to make it about you, didn't you? Your brother's got his moment of glory, and it just like somehow you turned it. It's Greg time.
No, this time it was, Tom.
You hung up on my brother in front of me?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.
That was me defending you finally. With your older brother.
That's true.
He had to make it about himself.
I did leave him in the dust, so
I didn't. You're working.
I had someplace else. It was another thing.
He doesn't have a working phone. He can't call Uber. Yeah, he's getting an Uber. He's the only guy who can't download the Uber app.
You said it. I will say I saw a picture of him in that getup, and you would.
Yeah, good.
You would love it.
He was wet. Like it happens to all of us.
The sweatpants, the FDNY NYPD sweatpants, sweat and shirt combo was pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
I'm glad. Look.
Sure, those weren't cheap up there either.
Oh, no.
No, he probably
they price gouged.
He probably spent around $90.
Yeah. He also could have walked like another block and a half, and there would have been, I'm sure there would have
been
an
Old Navy or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he knew it was a story. He's like, he probably saw an Old Navy. He probably walked past an Old Navy to go into and probably went into a tourist thing. It probably wasn't cheap. It probably wasn't expensive enough. He went into another one that gouged him. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
What's up? Who's this?
This is Marcel from Orlando.
Marcel from Orlando. How's it going?
I'm pretty good.
To what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, I just saw something on Twitter from the Emmys the other night, which I didn't watch, but this concerns Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes. Stranger Things, which Sal is wearing a shirt that says, Barb deserved better.
Oh, really?
Did she? Really? She deserved better.
It was it was what I felt when I watched it in a vacuum, then I didn't realize that it caught on fire. So I'm holding true to that it was my real feeling. Yes.
Sure. No, look, I would say this. Sure, she deserved better. She got killed. People don't deserve to get... Oh, I'm sorry I ruined... You've had 3 months to watch it. And you know what? Whoop-dee-doo. I'm not ruining anything. If she can't outrun the Demogorgon, the kid could do it. Will outran that thing.
For weeks?
Yeah, for weeks. They stuck things in his throat. He still made it out of there. Or did he? It's like, if it's Barb's fault, she can't. Oh, the Demogorgon catches her? Hey, it's rough in the Upside Down. Nobody said it was easy in the Upside Down, right?
They've actually said right. The opposite, generally.
Yeah.
That's why she showed nothing but just a high moral code. There was not even a line in there out of any her scenes that would warrant what happened to
she's
her.
A wet blanket.
But it wasn't...
She was, but really, you don't... I mean, everybody in the show was a little gray.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But she was just... there was no gray area with her.
Yeah.
And she caught the worst fate.
No one in that entire town demonstrated even a second of concern over her fate.
Her best friend was like, well...
Where was her search party? You didn't see people combing through the woods with flashlights for Barb?
No. Well, maybe Barb shouldn't be such a wet noodle. People in the town would go looking for her, right? Will, where's Will? Well, you see Barb's mother putting lights on the wall trying to talk to the... Right?
It's true.
Barb's mother was probably at the mall.
Barb didn't just deserve a better fate. She deserved a better life, even when she was alive, it seems. Nobody can. You know what I mean?
Look, I'm not saying the world is a better place because Barb is dead. But I'm certainly saying, who are you going to root for more? The dork who gets chomped sitting on a diving board, or the little kid with the shaved head who can flip an SUV over by cricking her neck that way? Who'd you rather watch? All these people. Oh, Barb's my favorite. Really? You like Barb better than the kid who gets the look in her eyes and starts breaking dudes' necks just by twitching her head? I'll stick with the kid.
I agree with you there. I just think she deserved better, Barb. Yeah. But 11 was my favorite character. It was one of my favorite characters probably since Lost on any television show.
Marcel, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Mike, can you come in here for a second? I don't know if we have time. I think we have time for this. We'll do this quick. Can you read this? Hold on one second. Into a micro.
The mic's not.
They generally work better when they're plugged in.
I want to be clear for the listener. Mike just picked up a mic with no cord.
Yeah. It's like studio.
You
want
to just use?
It's right there. Come on, we can do this.
Oh, okay. We can do this, guy with the thing. What are you, Tony Robbins, walking around with a wireless mic?
Okay, let's get serious. If it's Tuesday night, it's time for the Gary the Squirrel Show.
Oh.
America's number one late night program. Our guests are Chris Gethard and Sal Volcano. My name is AP Mike, and I suck, but the star of the show doesn't. Please welcome Gary the Squirrel.
All right! What's up? Hey, Mike! Get out! Get out! You suck! Who's on the show? What?
What's up, Gary?
Chris Gethard!
Long time no see, man.
Career suicide! Love it!
Oh, that's good. I hope you'll come check it out.
Yeah, I will. Chris Gethard! It's one of my favorites.
Thanks, Gary.
You and your family, so talented! It's kind of like the Rod Tenenbaums.
That's really nice of you to say.
Or like the Corleone family. Okay. With two Fritos.
You burned me.
And Fred from Honolulu is your Tom Hagen.
He's pretty good, yeah.
Now you got your new show, Career Suicide.
Yeah.
CareerSuicideShow.com.
Yeah.
I thought your show, Career Suicide, was called Big Leak!
Ouch.
Big Leak!
Ouch. Blast from the past there, Gary. You got me good on that one.
Thank you. No, I can't wait to see the show. Looks great.
Thank you so much.
Don't Think Twice is a movie you got out now. Directed by Mike Birbiglio.
Yeah. That's true.
You know what you might have wanted to think twice about?
starring in Big Lake.
I mean, it was a really great opportunity at the time. It's a really...
All right, thank you to Chris Gethard.
Oh, that's it? Okay.
Who's next on the show? Sal Volcano.
Hey, Gary.
What's up?
No, nothing much.
Impractical Jokers. It's like the Beatles of comedy. There's four of you. It's like if the Beatles were made up of two Ringos and two Pete Bests. Get it? Now, on every episode of the show, whoever loses gets a punishment. Now you know what it feels like to watch the show. It's like a punishment. No, I'm kidding. I love the show so much. Now, here's a trivia question. Chris,
yeah.
Did you know that True TV used to be Court TV?
Yeah, I was aware of that.
And did you know that I find Sal Volcano guilty of impersonating a comedian?
I didn't know that part, no.
No, but you're really funny, Sal. You're kind of like...
I like the setup.
You're kind of like Chris Hardwick without the talent. Right now, Jamie Kennedy's at home.
I'm looking at Gary in the eyes while he says that.
Yeah, because I'm talking to you, stupid. And by the way, answer this. The Carbonaro effect. What is the effect? Because I think the effect is it makes me want to jump out of a window. That's the Carbonaro. Is that the Carbonaro effect? Makes me want to jump out of a window.
I like it. I think it's a good show.
Yeah. You always know when you're at a bowling alley in Atlanta and there's a good-looking guy at the snack bar wearing glasses with a camera attached to it.
Gary, you watch the show. You even know it's filmed in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I wonder why this good-looking guy with horn-rimmed glasses isn't doing every menial job you've ever seen. I was working there. You ever see the guys that work at bowling alley snack bars? But true... With impractical jokes. Right now, Jamie Kennedy's at home saying, what did I do wrong? The Jamie Kennedy experiment. He's at home pulling his hair out. These guys are selling out Radio City. Nah, but really, I think it's great. I think Impractical Jokers is great. I think you guys are going to have a long and fruitful career. Just like the guy who hosted Juiced. What was his name again? Who hosted Juiced? That other prank show?
I don't know it.
I'm not sure.
Right. O.J. Simpson! No, but I want to thank Sal Volcano and Chris Gethard for coming on the Gary the Squirrel Show!
Thanks for having us, Gary.
Thanks, that was great. Thanks, Gary.
All right, I'm out!
Left. That was fast.
This show is real quick.
That was
days.
Quick.
Oh, God.
I guess it's like the Snapchat era now. Yeah. Shows are quicker.
I get that.
This show is very quick. All right, let's take these last couple calls in and we'll wrap up and say goodnight to my guests and goodnight to you, the listener. Best show. Go ahead, real fast. Now, you got your thing on in the background. Come on, tighten it up.
I'm sorry, what?
Best show. They were on hold for 45 minutes.
How's it going, Tom?
It's going. Oh, it's Fred from Honolulu.
Oh, it's Freddie Hawaii. Oh.
Let me introduce you to Sal Volcano right now.
How's it, Sal?
Hi, how are you?
Wait till you
I'm all right, man. Big ups to you and your very, very large women fan base.
Thank you.
What are you talking about?
Sal does have a large fan base of women. This is true. Every time Sal tweets at me, I get a lot of retweets from women.
Fred.
I love it.
Yeah. Fred's a cool dude.
Yeah.
Fred, what would you think about doing this? You know, why don't you come down here in a couple weeks?
Mm-hmm.
You and I'm going to give you the platform nobody has given you. 3 hours of Fred. I will co-host this show with you for the entire show.
Oh, you want to know the first thing I do?
What?
I already got one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
Something you've never done.
What?
Ready?
Beg Joe Firestone for a job?
There's that. I was gonna beg Mr. Volcano for a place in Team Impractical. If there's a space for me. Yeah.
Fred, you're not putting your best foot forward. Somebody just tweeted, "Oh no, 3 hours of Fred."
Yeah. Guess what? No white collars. No white collars.
Look, I'll do
the
that.
White genocide begins.
The white genocide begins.
Okay. Wait, what was that I said about this guy hosting for 3 hours? Look, if you want to do a show, Fred, with no, I'll do whatever you want. You set the tone.
Is Fred Hawaiian?
Yes.
I know he lived in Honolulu.
Well, yes,
Fred. I think you're Filipino. Yeah,
he's like the people. Did you ever see the Hawaiian movie, The Descendants? He's like, yes. He's like those Hawaiian guys, like Matthew Lillard. Or,
the wealthy landowner.
Yeah, or George Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
Right, or Bo Bridges.
Fred, why were you being so cocky at that wedding this weekend?
Okay.
Jersey Dave's getting married, and you're walking around like the king of the...
Chris Gethard pointed at me in front of 50 strangers and said they'd find me floating in the lake.
I never said that.
In front of his wife to feel like a big man.
There you go. Tough talk. All right, Fred. Classic Fred. He calls at 8:50. He calls at 11:59.
I literally was calling.
All right, we'll talk this out when you're on. Best show.
Hello.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Amber.
Amber, how are you?
I'm good.
What's up?
Nothing. I'm a big Impractical Jokers fan. Huge.
I could hear it in your voice. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
You have a question for Sal, Amber?
You seem less than
I just want to tell him he's my absolute favorite.
Who's your least favorite, though, right? Which one? Which Joker are you just like, eh?
I don't have a least favorite.
Yeah, I know you do. We all do. You can say it. Who is it?
Murray.
There you go.
Yeah, atta girl.
There you go. That's all. Thank you, Amber. I do have to end the show. I appreciate you calling.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye, Amber. I mean, have fun with everything.
I hope you're okay.
Final call. Best show.
Hello.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
Amalia.
Who's this? Amalia?
Amalia, yeah.
Amalia, where are you calling from?
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. What's going on tonight, Amalia?
Well, it's been a long day. I'm sorry, I missed your show today.
Okay, well, it'll be on the. You can get it on as a podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm gonna listen to it later. I just missed it because I have a book club. So,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. But I've been told that this is the house hour power or something like that.
It's the what? What were you told?
Half power of power?
The half hour. It is not the half hour of power. You're calling at the end of the regular best show. Yes.
Oh, really? No way. Oh, no.
All right. I do have to end the show. Yeah, well, I appreciate it. You should call earlier in the show next week.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, next time, I would love to call earlier.
All right. You do that. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks,
Amalia. So what's up with you? What happened with the show today?
Oh, it's
was it good?
Well, we're really sticking the landing with this one, Sharpling. Really sticking the landing.
Well, I would say your best bet's probably tomorrow for you to listen to what happened on it rather than me to
tell you
what happened on it.
Okay.
All right, you have a great night. Thanks for calling, Amalia.
We could start over.
Good night.
Bye. Hi, Tom. It's nice to meet you. Thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. Who's this final one, Mike? I hung up before. Okay, best show.
Yeah, I want to ask Al a question.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask him about the girl he called, told he was a pussy doctor.
Okay.
Now that's how you end a show.
Yeah, that's the way you end it.
Okay, yeah. I was at a networking event, and I was a gynecologist, but I could only refer to myself as a pussy doctor. What is the question?
Yeah, did you find it easy to say that to her because she was such an abrasive?
I'm sure he found it so easy. I'm sure it was. I can feel this one. Of course it was easy. There was nothing difficult or uncomfortable about that.
Because she like came up to you like, all right, quick with a pen. Who are you? What do you want to do?
Yeah, it was a networking event for professionals. And I guess the gag there was that I was a pretty well-educated professional with a good career, but I kind of went lowbrow in the description of it. So it was a little bit hard to say the P word to the woman at a professional event or otherwise, really. Yeah. It was tough. How old are you?
38.
Oh, okay. All right. Fine. That's right.
No, I just thought it was, I don't know, it seemed like you went for it. You know, like, you didn't have any regards because she was being, you know, such a C-1-T.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, I don't recall that part.
Yeah.
But,
she was really rude.
Did this just air, or is this just something that's been on your mind since you saw it, or?
I don't know. I've seen your episodes, you know, a few times. That one, I just, I've never seen you be that willing to go forth and, mm-hmm. you know, say something that, I think it was Murr who said, I can't believe he said it.
It could very well been, because he contributes there. It's a great, wait, I'm really at a loss for it.
Well, you don't know.
Thank you. What? You're probably right. I'm probably very meek a lot of the time, so that probably stuck out to you as a time that I was bold. Could depend on the mood of the day, and I appreciate you calling and talking about it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Bye.
Oh! Look. Show's over. I can't thank you enough for coming down, Sal Vulcano.
I'm really, really happy to be here. I appreciate the invite, and thank you for giving our show a chance.
You come down anytime you want.
Thank you.
My old friend, Chris Gethard.
It's really nice that you have me back, Tom.
Career Suicide.
Yeah.
Starts in just a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And people can go to careersuicideshow.com, and you can buy tickets for the entire run there. And listeners of the show can use the code FOT10. And get $10 off that ticket. You go do that now and support Chris. He's been my friend, and he's been the show's friend for so long. And now we can show you that we are in your corner. And it's going to be great. I can't wait to see the show. Congratulations on everything.
Thanks,
man. The
that
movie.
Means a lot. Thank
Don't
you.
Think twice. Hopefully a third season of the Chris Gethard show. But the Career Suicide, can't wait. And Sal, Impractical Jokers is on pretty much, you might as well say when it's not on, right?
new episodes are on a Thursdays at 10.
Sure. New episodes are on Thursdays at 10, and then there's also the show that has little bubbles pop up and things, right?
Yeah, maybe we do that too. Mm-hmm. Try to repurpose some things,
yeah,
put a little extra information in there.
And you guys are doing live shows all the time.
Yeah, we're pretty much constantly on tour, usually every other weekend. But we're doing a bus tour starting October 7th.
Okay.
And that'll be for a few weeks. So you can see us if you go to ImpracticalJokers.com or the10loins.com. Mm-hmm. And we're doing a live episode to finish this season at the Prudential Center November 3rd.
Wow.
With Nitro Circus.
Okay.
And so we're doing these like stunts for charity and stuff like that.
Oh, my God.
So that's like a thing that we just announced. So
that's
anyone could come to it and it'll be fun. Hopefully we survive it.
That's super exciting. People can find out all that stuff over at ImpracticalJokers.com.
Sure.
And you also are on Twitter at
Sal Vulcano.
And you, because you do stand up all the time and all sorts of things, and you have your podcast, which is again called
What Say You,
which you do it's kind of intermittent sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You
which is fine. Look.
We get it. We try to do it when we
I'm can. The stupid one coming here every week. And let me just say, finally, to you, the best show listener, that it's called Post Roll, people. And I'm going to read something to you. You sit back and you listen to what I'm going to say and you do everything I'm about to tell you to do. Oh, I'm supposed to, Chris and I are in a fantasy basketball league. The commissioner of the league will get mad if I don't say that on the air. There you go, Robbie. I said it. You happy? Robbie's a good guy. You're going to miss the in-person draft this year.
I know. I hope it's at a time where I can do it online.
I hope it's not. I hope you end up with a really bad team.
You know who I'm taking first round if I can get him.
Who?
Gilbert Arenas.
I wish Gilbert was still in the league. Dude, don't you think Westbrook's going to be in?
Yeah, no, it's going to be the craziest season you've ever seen. It's going to be like a video game.
It's going to be like NBA Jam where he's on fire the whole time.
No, that's my guy.
Who's going to get Westbrook? Whoever gets, whichever one of us has the earlier pick is getting Westbrook, right?
I've been to the finals for the last 3 years. I lose every time in the finals.
I really crapped out. I picked Kevin Love over Hassan Whiteside last year. What was I thinking?
Doesn't that say something, Sal? I make it to the finals 3 years in a row. Isn't that better than almost winning 1 year and not making it back ever again? To show you can put a team together. I think I'm just the best at it. And if I make it a fourth time and don't win, then I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
You're the Susan Lucci.
The Buffalo Bills are the Susan Lucci. And just, I got to figure something out, guys. Chris pals around these fancy people. I got to get one more of these out of my system. I need an Ira. If there's an Ira Glass listening or a Mike Birbiglia listening or any of these people want to champion me or Judd Apatow and you want to back me on a thing, I'll make a movie. You don't think I got a movie in me? I'll make a movie. Back me. Seriously, there's got to be some winners out there listening who want to get in my corner. DraftKings is the destination for 1 week fantasy football. Use promo code BEST at DraftKings.com now and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code BEST to play free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See site for details. DraftKings.com. Fantasy football, bro. Thank you guys so much for coming down. And anytime you want to come back, so you come back or call and work.
Absolutely love to.
You know Chris, obviously. Thank you. This is a record by, it's on Hozak. It's a reissue of a single from 1977. Charlie Hungry is the band, and the song is Time to Go. Oh, it's almost like I planned it. Best show, be back next week. Bye.